welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number, 866-901-ADAM. I'll speak to you. I'm in a good mood. I want to say hi to Dave Damashek and Teresa Strasser.
Good morning.
I want to say hello to the both of you, as well as to Molly the dog.
Yes, Molly's in for football picks.
Yeah, it was much discussion in the Corolla household about whether Molly could make it in today or not, because she has to go to the vet. She has an appointment at like 11:15, and could I get her back, and could somebody pick her up, and why do we need her in person, and give me the picks now. I had some fun with my wife, who I never get tired of making fun of for being lazy. She swears she gets up at 6:30 every morning. I know she's lying.
We could try calling her at 6:30.
I like that idea.
She'd probably not pick up and say she was with the kids or something.
Adam's on the phone.
I said, well, we'll be doing these picks pretty early in the morning, but we'll be doing about 6:45, maybe 6:45, 6:50. We'll do it in the first sports. You'll have been up for a while anyway, so no problemo. We'll just do it over the phone with Molly. I caught her dancing a little bit. You know, well, I get nervous on the radio. I
said, what?
You know, you're not nervous. Everyone loves you on the radio. You're good on the radio. Just, you know, then I like to twist the knife a little. You've been up for a while. No problem. I'll just give you a buzz. Well, sometimes I don't hear the phone. I'm in with the kids. Listen, you should be done swimming your laps down at the Y by then. I'll give you a buzz about 6:40, 6:42. We'll put Molly on the phone. We'll just do it over the phone like we did last week. Maybe you ought to bring her in. I don't see why I should. Well, why don't we make the picks now? I don't have the games now, so we can't pick now. But don't worry. You've gotten up quite a bit before we're going to call you.
That's just cruel.
I know. But when you're paying for everything, you can toy with everybody.
Well, speaking of dancing, as I watched Survivor last night, I wondered if you did your Survivor dance with the baby.
Well, what happened last night is I was supposed to... Oh, don't make me do it. I was supposed to go to the premiere party of Drawn Together. It's a TV show on Comedy Central I've been on. I guess this is the third season. Last night was the premiere party. I had been to none of the premiere parties thus far, because I guess I was always working at night. The premiere parties were always about the time I was over at Loveline, so I never did go. But I was going to go last night. Of course, I didn't end up going last night. But that screwed up my Survivor watching thing, because I didn't watch at 8, so don't tell me anything.
I didn't put it in the news just in case you hadn't seen it.
Thank you. So, Molly...
He's never seen the show.
Survivor?
No, I'm sorry. Drawn Together, the show that you're on. Right? Is that true?
I have seen... I understand it's very funny.
Yes.
The thing... Drawn Together on Comedy Central, I guess it's 10:30 Thursday nights, right?
Yes. It's not to suggest that you're disparaging the show by not watching it. You don't watch yourself on TV at all.
He wasn't on Bernie Mac when he was on Bernie Mac.
I'm strangely selective. There are things I will watch and things I won't. If they do one of these celebrity softball games, I'll watch myself in the celebrity softball game because I like sports. And if there was a celebrity, you know, when I did the Toyota Grand Prix, when I did the car thing, I'll watch myself doing the car thing. But if I'm a voice on a cartoon, I may very well not watch that.
It's the paradox of Corolla. Ultimately, you're not that big a fan of Corolla.
Well, I realized my family had talked me out of sort of being a fan of myself early and often. And they didn't say I was stupid or unfunny or anything like that. Just, you know, no big deal. And I sort of bought into it. It was a weird thing, you know. We joke about with my family, but this is what you'll do to your kids. They'll sort of look at themselves how you look at them. You know, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, if you tell the kid he's ugly or he's fat or he's whatever... They'll look at themselves as ugly, fat, or whatever. But there's a weirder one that went on with my family. Is that a general take it or leave it attitude toward most of the other family members.
How should I know?
Ambivalence.
Yeah, it's sort of an ambivalence, and it's an and it runs very deep. It runs very deep, and it's weird. I did a couple of weeks ago. I did a show, Byron Allen. The bald black host, you may recall from being on and off TV for the last 25 years or so. He hosted a show called Comics. I don't know. comics at large or comics on fire or something.
Ink.
Something.
I hate when they do that.
Yes. It is it's the TV name equivalent to eggs and such on the restaurant menu. I don't like the ink on the TV shows. I don't like the such in the restaurants. But point is Comics Unleashed is the show that he is now doing. And I was on not the first episode, but I think the second two. We did two tapings a couple of weeks back, as I recall. It was going to be on Tuesday night. I think it was on ABC, and I think it was after Kimmel. And I knew I was going to be on, you know, and I knew I was going to be on 4 or 5 days after I taped it. And I remember thinking about it on Monday. I guess that show is going to be airing this week. I think tomorrow night and the next night or something like that. Maybe tomorrow night and Friday night. Whatever it was, I thought about it for a while, and then I stopped thinking about it. I never told my wife, and I never told anyone. I'm the worst guy on the radio. I know it seems like I talk a lot about myself, but not in that department. And I never did do that. And it was funny because all the years I was on with Dr. Drew, he would never do it either. We would go do Politically Incorrect, or I would go do it, or Drew would go do it at 5:30, 6 o'clock that day, and then at 10 o'clock that night, we'd never mention a word of it all the way through. I think he has self-esteem issues as well. But anyway, somehow my family got me disinterested or uninterested in myself to a certain degree, and then I'm not that interested. I can talk everyone's ear off about cars or building or philosophies, but if I'm going to be on TV that night, there's a decent chance I won't watch it, and I won't remember. It worked on me. It's not like an inner struggle. It's not like, should I tell my wife, geez, I think I should watch it. No, I'm only going to look fat. I'll be watching SportsCenter and not think about it.
There's not disdain. It's just you're completely apathetic neutral about yourself. It's very weird.
Yeah, I don't think about it. I've been in this animated series drawn together for, I guess, 3 seasons now. I've never seen an episode. I've seen bits and pieces. I see the stuff they show me when I do the looping and the ADR. I know the guys who do it, and I do know the show's very funny, and I know it's really bawdy, and it's really raunchy, and it's really out there. And I've seen bits and enough of it to know what the show's about, but I've never seen a full episode, and I never TiVo'd it, and I don't know what day it's on. And I didn't watch last night either.
Well, and conversely, when I ate one time on Jimmy Kimmel's show, he had me eat a piece of a plum for the first time in my life. And I told my mother about that, and this started off the phone chain for hours on end.
Really?
Does your family do this, Teresa?
I also don't watch any of the things I
really
do.
Really? Weird.
Mostly just because I get very self-critical and it's not fun.
But I feel like either people watch themselves or people don't watch themselves, but when you don't watch yourself, it's intentional. It's as intentional as watching yourself. It's just there's issues, there's feelings. Sometimes there's feelings surrounding your appearance or something that you feel self-conscious about and you just can't stand to watch yourself.
You just forget.
It goes into my mind and then it washes out of my mind and I don't think about it. And I think about it as much as anyone else would think about it, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think about watching me any more than anyone else would think about watching me, which evidently is not that much. Bill?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
You have a question?
Yeah, it was a couple months back. I was watching G4 TV, of all things, and you did a voiceover for a cartoon called Save Virgil.
Yes, Save Virgil. Yes.
And it was hilarious.
Never seen it.
And
I have the disc.
The only bummer part about it was they blurred out Ginger Lynn's boob when Virgil was breastfeeding. But
this is a weird. Is it animated?
Well, the Virgil's animated, but the rest of it's live action.
This is it's a couple things. That was funny. Good timing, by the way, with this, Bill. This is a project I did. It's one of the guys who's an animator for The Simpsons got me to do some voiceover project called Save Virgil five, 6 years ago now. But this is another good example of people will then hand me the disc for things. I'll run into the guy, hey, we got into the Montreal Comedy Festival. Everyone loves it. And he'll hand me the disc. I'll run into the guy. Hey, go watch it. This is great stuff. And all right. And I will not watch. I won't put it into the... I've watched the same... You know, I've seen Taboo 2 172,000 times. But the thing that I did the voiceover work on over the course of, you know, 2 months, 5 years ago, and put a lot of work in, never seen it. But then... I'll run into the dude 6 months later. Hey! Hey, guy! Hey, I'm from Save Virgil. You know what? I should have named my son Guy.
Yes.
I'm so much more comfortable. Hey, Guy, what's doing?
Self-esteem would be boosted by everybody knowing his name.
Trying to pick out something specific that you remember, but you can't remember his name. What's going on with the jeans? I remember he had those new jeans. Yeah, it's because there's always something stupid I'll remember from seeing them 6 months ago, but I can't remember their name, so I try to dance around it by bringing up every specific thing I can remember about them. Only one thing I don't know is the name. Hey, Guy, what's going on with those jeans? They're cool. Oh, yeah. So what'd you think? Hey, man, about what? I gave you the movie 6 months ago. Did you check it out? Everyone loves it. Oh, well, yeah, it's awesome. It's great. It was good animated show, right? Yeah. Awesome, Guy. Jeans, Guy. It's good stuff. It's funny stuff. Well, hey, man, you deserve it, man. It's all because of you. Hey, thanks, bro. And then I still won't watch it. And that's the part I can't figure out. Yes, I've had this. I pray to God... This guy's name is Brad Abelson. He was an animator for The Simpsons. I pray he's not listening. He gave me the disc. I worked on the project 6 years ago, and the disc has now been sitting around my house for 4 years. Never thought to put it in. I figured I kind of remember doing it, and that's about enough. There's got to be something better on TV. And I have 20 other of the equivalents of these kinds of projects never seen sitting around the house.
I'm sure your wife Lynette will watch it as soon as she wakes up in about 10-15 minutes.
Oh yeah, it's yeah. Almost wake up time.
All right, so enough about me and my, again, not low self-esteem. Low self-esteem is I think I'm fat, I think I'm stupid, I think I'm ugly. I don't think any of it. No self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Don't right. think about it. Just go home and watch whatever you would watch. If here's the deal. If I was on a show that I would be watching anyway, then I will watch right. that. But what's the likelihood of that happening?
Which is interesting, because that's exactly how you've described the rest of the Corollas. If they would listen to this radio show anyway, they'd listen. But the fact that you're on it doesn't sway them either way.
They would make, I'll tell you, my dad would make the greatest Little League umpire in the county.
Totally impartial.
9 of his children starting on one team. And 9 kids newly released from juvie on the other team. And when that play came down at the plate in the 9th inning to see who was going to win the pennant, it would not make a lick of difference. Too. Yes. I would also argue they probably overcompensate so people didn't think he was just calling
right.
his kids safe and go the other direction. But yes, they're very they're fair-minded people that way. They would make good politicians. There'd be no nepotism. There'd be... None of, no, they wouldn't give away to any of these special interest groups or soft money or anything like that. Nope, they got pride. Not so much that they get jobs, but pride. Okay. We'll take a break. When we come back, a man who was on this show with me. Wow, everything has got a nice bow on it this morning. The guy who did Comics Unleashed with me, Dom Herrera.
Yeah, very funny man.
Very funny comedian Dom Herrera is on the phone. We'll speak to him. Also, we'll do our football picks coming up. That's why I got my dog Molly in here. Speaking of football, Chargers, Sean Lights Out Merriman. We talked to him, had him on when we were in San Diego, found him to be a delight. Rookie player of the year, rookie defensive player of the year last year in the NFL.
And he accepted my bet, too. I said, let's bet on the Steeler-Charger game. That was a month, you know, I said, now it's arrived this Sunday night, Steelers at Chargers. He and I are going to make some sort of a wager. We have to work out the details on it.
All right. Of course, Friday's Bitch Bag and much, much more on the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what not to watch on TV tonight at 6 on Animal Planet.
don't watch Animal Cops Detroit. A house full of reptiles poses a unique challenge. Then at 7 on Lifetime, be sure not to watch Married to a Stranger. A woman suffers a head injury and can't remember her husband, forcing him to make her fall in love all over again. Starring Jacqueline Smith. And finally at 8 on KPXN, definitely don't watch Mama's Family. Vint nearly dies of embarrassment when Mama brings his lunch to work in his childhood lunch pail. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dom Herrera, who was going to check in with us, evidently has not checked in with us. But that's all right. I got a motor mouth, kiddies. Talk about anything. Few things. Again, we'll do our football picks coming up. And Charger Sean, Lights Out Merriman, is going to be on the show. One of the best outside backers in the league. Something's wrong with my TiVo or something. I usually TiVo CNN in the morning, and I watch CNN morning as I make my breakfast and get ready to come into work. Try to get caught up on whatever events are going on. Something's not working, so I was just scanning around, switching from the Good Morning Los Angeles, the Good Day this, and the Good Day Fox, and the Fox and Friends, and all this kind of morning show stuff, local and national. And as I skipped around, it was really like a montage of weather and traffic. I mean, the weather and traffic is not coming every 8 minutes. It's coming every 90 seconds on each one of these. And if you just skip around at 5 in the morning, you'll go from traffic report, from weather report to weather report. First, I get angry. Then I think, well, what's up with me that I don't give a flying F about either one of these subjects yet? I thought to myself, if I came down from another planet just to go on a little recon mission and observe how the humans lived, I would come back up and I would say, well, whoever the imperial leader was when we were planning our attack, I would say, here seems to be this civilization, their obsession is with weather, traffic, and Eva Longoria. and Ashley Simpson, and someone named Nicole Richie, it doesn't seem to be one of the finer specimens. I don't know why they're obsessed with her. Perhaps she's dying. I don't know what the problem is. I didn't look into it. Point is I would say, yes, they are obsessed. I've turned on this thing called a television set. It brings all the things that people are supposed to be interested in. This is how it works. See, the humanoids, they sit around this box. There's a wire to it. The wire goes all over the planet, and they beam in images and conversations about things the humanoids seem to be interested in. And I'll tell you one thing right now. Traffic and weather are the two things that the humans seem to be most interested in. As a matter of fact, if we could control traffic and weather, I think we could rule the planet. Because they're all zombies and they're all fixated. And then the imperial leader would say, what's going on with this traffic and this weather? Your Highness, I'm confused because it's 71 in a place called Upland. And then it's also going to be 71 in a place called Riverside. And then it's 71 in Van Nuys and 71 in Northridge. And it's 71 in Simi Valley. I did learn that it's 8 degrees warmer today than it was this time last year, which seem to be neither here nor there because you're just wearing the same sweatshirt you would have worn last year. You understand, I don't have apparel that switches every 10th degree. If it's 71, I'll wear a sweat jacket. If it's 68, I'll wear a sweat jacket. And if it's 74, I'll wear the same sweat jacket. The obsession, and then what's going on? Oh, the Slauson cutoff or the four-level exchange. And I just sit there and I just stare at it and I go, really? Is our thirst for this knowledge so powerful that it must be quenched every 2 minutes? It can't be, I think. It can't be. I can't be that far off. My brain can't be that poorly calibrated that I don't give a rat's F what's going on in the DeVore Pass going through Redlands, and I don't give a rat's hiney. I know what it's going to be like outside. I have a window. We don't live in bunkers. I have a window, and I have cells on the outside of my body that sense heat and sense cold and sense touch as well, Dave. Thank you for what you're doing with your big toe.
Inspiration.
What is the thing? And by the way, how many times do we get burned by going out I went out in flip-flops and dolphin shorts and no shirt, and I hit a blizzard on the way into the office, by the way. Has anyone ever, who's been burned by the weather in the last couple whatevers? Yes, you keep one of those collapsing umbrellas rolling around in the trunk of your car, and that's about all you have to do. I suppose if we were citrus farmers, and we may have to pull out the smudge pots or something, maybe that's something. Maybe I need to see what the frost level is. But the fact that it's the same as it was this time last year, and that the traffic is just traffic, and the 405 is a little tough going southbound, but it's clear going the other direction that nobody cares about, that you're not going. What is the obsession with something that, A, rarely changes, B, if it does, it changes over the course of sort of days and weeks as the summer turns to fall kind of thing. What is this obsession? How come I don't care? Why do I feel tortured by it?
That's the point. Listen, if we lived in Duluth, Minnesota, and it were January, then all right, maybe you need to know if roads are shut right. down because of ice, but it's 80 degrees every day.
I know the traffic never changes. You don't change your direction to work. You like to say you might. You love the option of doing it. But tell me the amount of times you've heard a traffic report and said, ooh, I'll not be going my normal route to work. I will alter it because I've been informed of this new traffic report. That never happens either. But if you scan around the news, and again, especially in the early mornings when they have all the Good Days and the Fox and the Friends and all these shows, the local and national, just scan around. You'll go from weather to weather to weather to weather. Same thing. Here's how you know they have nothing to talk about. They threaten you with things that don't happen. Hey, do we got some rain coming up? We're going to find out. I'll tell you what. Hey, no, we don't have any rain coming up. Well, you're telling us all we need to know. Nothing is going on. It's like saying, oh, might we do this? No, we may not. Do we need to hear the part where something may happen, but it's not going to happen? Is that news?
Well, when I worked on Good Day New York, when it became winter, our ratings would go way up because everybody wanted to tune in to see the weather.
I have a feeling Don Marrero is now on the phone.
Oh, good.
Fortunately, I'm angry now. I have a feeling that just like those goddamn horrible songs that get pumped up everyone's arse, I got the feeling that people are sort of cross between tuned out and stupid, and that if you take tuned out and stupid and you pump a horrible Eagles song into their soul, they'll say they like it when they do the focus groups.
There's been a two-car pileup on the Zizzix.
Right. Now, let me explain how life works. You then take retards, people that have no job, no life, and nothing to get to, no chick to hop on top of, and no boss to go see at work, and no paycheck to get. You then offer them $10 to get in a group, and then you play this song. It's called a focus group, and radio shows do it. Radio stations do it, and then they go, hey, who knows this song? Oh, I know this song. Who knows the traffic? I know the traffic. Who knows the weather? I know the weather. And then we mistake that for craving it. Then the guy writes it down. Oh, they responded
more
very
weather.
Favorably to
more
this.
Traffic.
More god-awful Don Henley songs. More information, traffic, and weather we don't need. It's the news. It's the morning news. I would like some news. What's going on in the DeVore Pass or the fact that it's going to be 71 degrees from Canoga Park to Diamond Bar? Not news to me. Yet, it dominates. Does anybody care? Does anyone care that we're going to spend 60% of the time watching the news, seeing no news? Some team we don't care about. It's like somebody just, I got an idea. Why don't you just pick a AAA team like the Mud Hens from Albuquerque or something and do nothing but stories on them? Because that's how affected we are by the traffic and the weather, at least out here in Southern California. Yes, if it's going to rain, if there's going to be hail the size of golf balls, please tell us about it. If not, let's just move on. I hear someone who uses the traffic report every day. Now I'm angry. I got Don Marrero on the phone. Anthony?
Yeah, you can be angry all you want. I know I'm the exception and not the rule.
You don't use it. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from work right now.
What city are you in?
I'm in Van Nuys right now.
Yes. And where do you live?
I live in Santa Monica.
And you follow the traffic every day?
Yeah, because if it's crap, I take Topanga Canyon over.
Right.
So, like I said, I'm the exception, not the rule.
How often does the 405 at 6 in the morning, how much does it fluctuate?
It varies.
Nothing.
It fluctuates. If there's an actual accident, it can take me 15, 20 more minutes.
How often do you take your alternate route?
10% of the time.
No.
Yeah.
That's a gross exaggeration.
No, it's not.
Did you take it this morning?
No, I'm still at work. I'm about ready to leave, but I'm listening to you rant and rave.
You drive home from work at this time.
Yeah. Work the night shift.
Yeah. So I'm just getting off right now. I'm getting off. My relief shows up in...
Whoa.
Two to 10 minutes. Oh,
wow, you got a lot of strikes going for you, Anthony. A, you work in Van Nuys. The armpit of the valley, Van Nuys.
You are not kidding.
And B, you get off work when you're supposed to be getting up in the morning.
Correct.
What do you do for a living?
You won't believe this. Aviation weather reports.
Oh. You work at Van Nuys Airport?
Yes, sir.
My God, they have the longest runway in North America.
Yeah, they do.
So
they need the weather reports, Dan.
All right. Yeah. All right, listen. If you got to protect a jet from wind shear, that's fine.
Yeah.
But go ahead and just put that on some band that I don't hear. I don't need to hear that it's 71 in Upland. Dom,
that is incredible.
Adam?
Dom Herrera, how are you, buddy?
Adam, I hate to hear you getting so upset like that. I wish there was something I could do for you. It hurts me to see you in that much pain. Man who, on Comics Unleashed, by the way, yes. Destroyed.
Oh.
Really?
Destroyed is good, right?
That's good. He unleashed.
Hey, I saw Norm MacDonald. I was listening to your show, and you were saying how Byron Allen, you know, was a nice guy, but just a little bit funny, but... You know, and I tell Norm, I said, you know, they were good mouthing you on the show. I said, you know, they said that, you know, you were really talented. And Norm goes, so what? I'm funnier than Byron Allen?
I do like comics because they're perpetually miserable.
Right, right.
And they're sort of, I think they sort of feel like prize fighters feel. Like the second they start getting nice is the second they're going to get whooped in the ring.
You'll lose your edge.
Right. And that's what I like about Dom. Dom, how long have you been doing stand up?
What's today? Friday? Since 1980.
Right.
And I am starting to tweak it now. I mean, I'm not bragging or anything. I'm really starting to get it together.
Yeah, because I saw his act in March.
Yeah.
And then I caught him a few weeks back. Totally. He's really made his move.
Oh, yeah.
He's waited 26 years to make his move.
I always love when people ask me how long I've been doing it. Like, you know, it's like, how long have you been doing it? Jeez. You think you'd be further along by now.
I love Dom. Dom was, when we did Comics Unleashed, told a story that is so true, which is, and maybe I should let you do it, but when people find out what you do for a living and then claim they could do it, it's always a little bit insulting, but there's always that buddy. It's not your buddy. It's the buddy of somebody, your brother, your cousin works with a guy who's really funny. But he's not funny in front of people.
Right, yeah.
That's the one. That's.
Can't you help him get a break? Can't he open for you? Well, he doesn't even do stand-up. Well, you could do something. You know people. Yeah, let me call, what's the guy, the president of show business. I'll help him out.
I like that, too. Yeah, you're going to take a guy who's not funny, and you'll just get him up on stage.
Yeah, you do something for him. You know, you're a big shot out there.
But I do love when people make that announcement. I could be a stand-up because I'm super funny. I'm just not funny in front of a group of 6 or 8 people. Yeah, the
I'm
party, but I'm
funny in front of people.
Oh, yeah, I know you're really funny at home in front of the full length mirror when you're pulling your scrotum up over your penis and doing your turtle thing. But if you're not funny in front of people, it's going to be tough.
Dom closes with that.
First time I did the Tonight Show, I was, you know, you're nervous. It was a big deal. Johnny Carson was still doing it, and a friend of mine asked me about her husband Bernie, who was an actor, had been a waiter for 10 years and went into business. He goes, could you mention Bernie to Johnny Carson? Like, that's the first thing I'm going to do. Hey, Johnny, it's great to be on the show. Listen, I got a friend, Bernie. He's not an actor now, but I think you should take a look at him.
How was the Tonight Show? Did Johnny call you over?
No. You had to hurt me. You see, it's never enough that I didn't.
Sorry.
Then if I got called over, did Johnny ask you to guest host? How come Leno guest hosted?
Well, wait, can I say something nice to neutralize that I hurt you? Dom, you'll never remember this in a million years, but when I first moved to L.A., I was trying to get inside the improv to watch a comedy show, and I didn't have the $8, and the doorman stopped me, and you were right in front of me, and you waved me in to the guy.
That's because you looked like kind of easy. I thought maybe I had a...
Speaking of comedy, we have a clip here. This is from the TLC Home Improvement show I did last season. This is my old gay assistant, Matt, who wanted to be a stand-up. I wouldn't say the guy... Well, let's just put it this way. You guys can decide whether the guy had an attitude problem or not.
Okay.
He was my assistant, and he used to pull me aside once every other week to sit me down and talk about my attitude.
Oh.
And this
He's
was
your
not
assistant.
Yes, this was not for the cameras, by the way. We needed to talk. And he would do things like, literally, it'd be 10 in the morning, and he'd say, look, you're on the fly, I'm busy now, but come see me in my den, right? Come see me in my office, which was my office. He'd say, we need to talk before the day's over. And then he would lay down these ultimatums where he'd go, I'm not going to tell you how to act, but if you don't drop the attitude, I am gone. And Dom got a little taste of that. Yeah. When he went to do stand-up, and then we thought, well, we need to get a seasoned comedian to talk to him about comedy. Dom pulled him aside, and Dom, I believe you got a little of that attitude as well.
Oh, yeah. Snippy.
Yes.
Wait, let me just get this straight. The assistant wanted to be a comedian?
Yeah.
Yes, he wanted Matt, my gay assistant, wanted to be a stand-up, so he did a little stand-up for Dom. Uh-oh. His act wasn't what you'd call polished. I think Dom discussed some of the beats with him, and he didn't take the criticism well. But
he was one of those guys you could tell never even said anything funny randomly, even by accident.
Right.
I got to hear this.
I think we have a little clip.
I need some help. Like, for instance, tonight I'm going to open with my favorite thing to do during sex is nothing.
Are you kidding me?
No.
That's your bit? Okay. Where do you expect to do stand-up comedy?
You think I need to, like, make it more, it's not mainstream enough. I mean,
no, I think you should do whatever you want, but as long as it's funny. With that opening joke, I guarantee you, you'll never get a f-ing job.
Time.
I got to tell you, the worst day of my life was we were going to film. Of course, he was gay, so he worshipped Tori Amos.
Right.
And that's it. That's what they do when you turn gay. Before they give you your traveling papers, they say, hold on, Kathy Griffin or Tori Amos? And you have to decide. You want to go musical, you go Tori Amos. You want to go comedy, you go Kathy Griffin. But you have to decide which one of these chicks you need to worship because they're damaged goods and they're tortured talents. So my guy went Tori Amos. So he said, well, we're going to do something. The producers of the TLC show said, well, we'll do something. You and Matt go to the Tori Amos concert and we'll film it. It'll be a night out for you and your assistant. And I'm like, ugh, I'm busy enough. Saturday night, really? But it was a month down the road, and I said, oh, screw it. So we got all the plans in place, and he was giddy. He was like a schoolgirl. We're going to Tori Amos. My boss is coming
backstage
with me to Tori
pass.
Amos. We're going backstage pass. Which I know has a double entendre. Point is at the last second, the TLC cameras pull out. Another double entendre. They pull out, and now, well, you're still going, though, right, Adam? Right, boss? We're still going to Tori Amos. Sure. Yeah, of course. Me and him on a date. Tori Amos. And not only Tori Amos, but Tori Amos doing one of her crazy acoustic piano shows where she dry humps the piano bench and starts crying. And she just sits there alone while me and several thousand gays hold bics over our heads. It was a night to remember.
The thing I remember about him the most was that he thought was like a premise was stand-up comedy. He goes, don't you think if I just say that I like to do nothing, that'll get a laugh? I go, but you got to embellish on that a little. What do you think? People are going to go, yeah, you're right. That's hilarious. I mean, here's my theory. I'll tell you what you do this. Just to shift gears a little bit, I think Terrell Owens is gay.
Really?
And I think his problems with Garcia were unrequited love, and he's too much of a narcissist not to be at least bisexual. And I think that his girlfriend found out, was leaving him, and that's why he tried to commit suicide.
Wow. Well,
anyway.
All right, but yes, I agree. I know we shifted gears there for a second, but I have thoughts about Terrell Owens as well that department.
You think T.O. is a T.O.P.?
I think he's bi. I think he's too in love with himself not to reflect on his own image once in a while.
There is something going on with him, and there seems to be an inner struggle going on with him that transcends sports and coaching authority figures.
That's why he's so tortured, yes.
Yeah,
there seems to be, in his upbringing and his culture and then the NFL, it would be impossible. For him to come out, but there seems to be something going on inside of him, and you know it is weird. And I have had this with gay friends before, which is you know these guys for 5 years, and all of a sudden you call them one night and you're like, yeah, I'm sorry, but I can't make the movie. I'm going to hang in tonight. And they start whimpering on the other line, and you think, what was he crying for? I can't make. And then you think, oh, wait a minute. He may like me like I may like a chick. There may be more here than just a couple of buds.
Just wanted to hang out.
Yeah. Sorry, Dave. Sorry for outing you that way. But yeah, maybe he had some feelings for McNabb or something. I don't know. Dom?
Yes.
You're going to be at the Comedy and Magic Club Friday and Saturday?
Yes, I am, my friend. Stop down and do a guest set if you want.
I wish I could. I don't have a set.
We'll do improv, whatever you want.
I've got a good premise. During sex, you sit there and do nothing.
You should be a stand-up.
I just have Matt's premise. That's all I have.
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe I could do a half hour on news and weather and traffic.
You got to stay away from the traffic thing, man. It upsets you too much.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm going to explode. All right, Dom Herrera, everybody.
Thanks
Comedy.
For having me on.
Good talking to you, Dom.
You too. Take
Dom,
care.
Hold on, Dom.
Yeah.
Are you still dating that married woman?
Yeah. She broke up with me. She wanted to live with me last night on about 10 drinks, and then on 20 drinks, she said not to call her anymore. Oh.
Dom, I'm just going to... I know something about relationships from an old show I used to do. I say it's time for Dom to move on. You're single, you're successful, you're a stand-up comic, you're in showbiz, you got some cash in the bank. Just go out and find yourself a single gal.
I know, but it's just a drama. I mean, first of all, you never had sex with her. Maybe you had, because I think everybody else did. But she, obviously there's something remarkable physically about her that I wouldn't, because I'm so shallow.
But I don't care if she has a mouth inside her vagina, Dom. You need to move on.
We've been talking. You know her, don't you?
We've been talking about this for a year now. It's time to move on. She's a married woman, Dom.
That's maybe what's attractive about her.
No, but she's not married in the true sense of...
That's what they always say.
Yes, but in the eyes of the law and her husband, she's married. And you're a comedian. You travel the world doing comedy. You have money in the bank. Why not just live your life?
Look, you're just hiding behind the facts.
You're right, Dom. All right, Dom.
You're right.
Get some therapy. Dom, I really do feel Dom has been hung up on this chick. He's a comedian, but he's not kidding about this. He's... Yeah. Been with a woman who's married, who won't fully commit. I do feel like men and women do this, but maybe men are even more guilty of it than women. They hook up with somebody, sometimes for no good reason, just their paths cross. They get a little bit of the other person under their skin, and they can't get it out. Oftentimes you get a splinter and it works its way out, but this one is like some shard of metal that just gets under your skin and it won't push its way out. Then what happens is the person's self-esteem starts eroding because they realize they're not supposed to be with this person, but they can't help it. And even though sometimes the person's not even all that attractive or all that desirable to other people, it becomes your Moby Dick, and you end up sort of ruining your life chasing after something that you don't even really need. And there's much better examples of single women floating all around you, but it doesn't matter. You become fixated. It really becomes this sort of thing like where it's like you're chasing a mouse around your house with a sledgehammer, and before you know it, you've destroyed your beautiful house trying to kill this mouse. When if you just would have left the door open a couple days, it would have wandered out, but you got obsessed and started chasing it around, and you're doing more damage to your life than you should, but you're obsessed with it. I don't know what that is. And as your self-esteem lowers, you then get in deeper, and it's this horrible spiral. Dom, please, I'm a friend. Get out. Thank you. The more you know. T?
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, it turns out marijuana helps a health problem that you probably hadn't thought about. And investigators have just found that pot is good for something brand new. And also, your favorite, Eva Longoria.
Hold on. I just saw Dawson do a cartwheel down the hall.
Eva Longoria.
Didn't spill an ounce of bong water either. Not many guys can cartwheel while holding a full bong.
Yeah, you can do a lot of stuff while holding a full bong. Eva Longoria back in the news, and John Mark Carr, which gives us an opportunity, of course, to hear a certain song.
Lover, friend, hero, John Mark Carr. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with that and our football picks, I do believe, after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with Program Director Jack Silver.
My vote goes to Mike August for not booking enough scattered ass in the studio. Oh, hey, peeps, I was just working on the bitch bag vote.
August has immunity, Jack.
Suck with that, yo! That's whack!
The show, Jack. Who's on the show?
The San Diego Chargers, Sean Merriman, Harlan Williams from the new movie Employee of the Month. Hey, that's gonna be hot. Dane Cook, hilarious! And, of course, the Friday bitch bag. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, Sean Merriman is due to call in about 8 or 9 minutes. We'll be talking to him. They're playing the Steelers coming up Sunday night. Harlan Williams will not be on the show, but he'll be on the show soon. We have one more clip. We played one. We're talking to Dom Herrera last break. We had my gay assistant, Matt, from my TLC Home Improvement show. Matt wanted to be a stand-up. We had him do a little work with Dom and get some feedback from Dom. And let's just hear the second clip.
Are you being full of right now?
No, no. Why do you say that?
You know what? I'm feeling discouraged. All right. Well, thank you for nothing. I'm over it. I am upset because, I mean, you can't feel me.
Well, it's good. It turned into reality TV. Well, another satisfied customer. Glad I could help him out. Maybe I gave him more real... Did he really walk out?
Tom, yes. Matt was a great assistant, like I said. Lots of conversations with the Ace Man about the Ace Man's attitude and how it needed to change toward him. Lots of sit-downs with the assistant. We need to talk, Adam. I'd be scared. I'd actually be called into my own home office. Yeah, Adam, come to your own home office. Close the door. Adam, we need to talk. It's weird when you're being spoken to by your assistant at your home office. All right. Well, not my assistant anymore. What do you know? We will press on. We will do some news, sports. But first, the aforementioned news with Teresa Strasse.
The House Ethics Committee approved nearly 4 dozen subpoenas yesterday as its investigation of the Mark Foley teenage male page sex scandal intensifies. Republican Speaker Dennis Hastert said that he accepted full responsibility for any earlier failures to investigate complaints of inappropriate behavior, but he resisted pressure to step down. He said, quote, ultimately, the buck stops here. I don't know if he knows it, but he was actually borrowing the famous phrase from a Democratic president, Harry Truman. Mm. Now, they've set up a hotline number for pages. So if you are a page and you were molested or sent an inappropriate instant message,
Adam's on his phone.
Good call.
This could be humiliating. Yes.
So, okay. I didn't understand that, Brian. Can I press forward?
We were laughing about this at, I don't know, 9 o'clock or so yesterday, but I just picture these guys that are talking, trying to get the young 13 and 14-year-old males on the phone, having the dirty talk with the these pedophiles talking with the young boys and their buddies coming up and razzing them. You know that's not a dude. You know that's a hot chick. Probably some cheerleader from a junior college or hot 22-year-old blonde stewardess who flies with Lufthansa. Come on, buddy.
That would be kind of fun if you were a teenage girl just to pull a prank like that on some horny old congressman.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I mentioned earlier that doctors are high on pot. The reason is new research shows that marijuana may prevent the progression of Alzheimer's disease by preserving levels of an important neurotransmitter that allows the brain to function. This is from research at the Scripps Research Institute in California. Apparently, THC, which is the active ingredient in pot, can prevent a critical neurotransmitter from breaking down more effectively than commercial drugs that do the same thing.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Dawson is beside himself. He is throwing a party out there. All right. Producer Dawson, yeah.
Apparently the fountain of youth is filled with bong water.
I'll tell you how I knew Dawson smoked a lot of weed when he explained the gravity bong to me.
Yes, how does that work?
Well, he's like, dude, it's fashioned out of an old drop tank from a B-29, vintage World War II B-29. We weld the guy inside of it. Then we take 3-inch PVC piping, 3-inch going in, 2.5-inch ABS going out. We hook that up to some centrifugal pumps. Then what we do is we get a bale of weed and we set it on fire with a heliarc. And then it's like, really? How many? Then we start filling it with water. Now, as the water rises, the smoke is displaced by the water. You got to be able to, well, we have you in a diving bell. It's like, listen, buddy, how about you just get yourself a nice bong?
Right.
Did you just smoke out of a
couple
bong?
Couple papers.
And the way weed is today, you don't need to do the thing where you take the pot and you shove it into one of the cylinders of your car and put your mouth on the exhaust pipe. You don't need to do the one where we stuff it into Def Rat Guy's potato gun and fire it into your lungs. All you need is today's weed, the purple sticky stuff with the orange hairs on it, and a standard bong. You'll get a nice buzz, believe you me.
Now, you may remember John Mark Carr, who admitted to killing John Madej Ramsey. Of course, there was no evidence to link him to that crime, but he was linked to a child pornography case. And after being behind bars for 2 months yesterday, he walked free out of a Sonoma courthouse. Why? Because the prosecution lost the computer that had the kiddie porn. Now, this is him singing at a wedding.
When I spotted this on Entertainment Tonight 2.5 months ago, I went ballistic. Yeah.
He's free now.
Let me ask this. Is there a bigger chasm between the two realities of the television shows that depict the prosecutors? He's a tough, hard-nosed, streetwise DA. And it's like, I'm not leaving until I get some answers. And these guys are geniuses. And then when you turn on the news and it's like, yeah, we couldn't bust OJ. We couldn't get John Mark Carr. What happened to the computer disk? Harold ate it. Really? You ate the evidence? Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, look, maybe it's just me. Maybe we don't hear about the cases they win, but these guys seem to just be bumbling boobs. I mean, I guess this is what happens when, you know, you decide not to go, you elect not to go into private practice and make $1 million a year. Instead, you'll get the paycheck from the city for $63,000 a year. Maybe you don't get the best and the brightest, but how losing evidence in this day and age? What do you mean lost?
I know. It's like when you go to the doctor and the doctor is nothing like Gregory House.
Yes,
show House.
Instead,
they have no idea what's happening. Now, I'm glad you mentioned boobs because there are a couple in the news, those belonging to Eva Longoria. Quickly, there's two big gossip stories. One is that Eva Longoria, according to Us Weekly, was fooling around with Saved by the Bell's Mario Lopez, also on Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. Now, her people are saying that her relationship with Tony Parker is intact, but Us Weekly is saying that she fooled around with Mario Lopez. Now, Paris Hilton, who recently had a fight.
One's got the spray on tan, the other was God-given, but two
that's right.
Fiery Latinos. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, he's cute and a very good dancer, might add. Shayna Mokler is saying she did not punch socialite Paris Hilton in the face over at the Hollywood Club Hyde early Wednesday morning. But she does say that Paris Hilton's ex-boyfriend, that Greek shipping heir Stavros Niarchos, did assault her, shoved her down the stairs, and poured a drink on her.
Uh-huh. Now, I see no marks on Paris Hilton. I mean, it seems like she's the kind of chick a black guy would show up on. And I have not seen anything like
ironically,
her.
When she was dating, I think it was it Nick Carter or Aaron Carter? She showed up with some bruises and there was rumors that she'd been beaten. I'm sure we'll hear so much more about that cat fight. But
and again, that is the result of them vying for the affection of Travis Barker.
From Blink 182 formerly.
4'11", 103-pound man.
But the good news is he's a drummer, so you know he's smart.
Of course. Now, lastly, at the box office, a couple big movies are opening. There's the Employee of the Month, but I think the one we're all looking forward to is Martin Scorsese's The Departed. With Matt Damon, Jack Nicholson. It was given a huge endorsement by Henry Winkler, the Fonz, when he was in here. Quickly, here is Mark Wahlberg discussing his role in The Departed.
It was amazing, you know, sitting in a trailer on Dorchester Ave, where I had gotten into so much trouble and you know, arrested by those same police officers that I was portraying. It was a nice change.
I'm looking forward to seeing
it. I can't figure out whether I like him or not.
Because of Entourage, I think I like him.
I think I do, but I'm jealous. You know what I mean? I want into his circle. I Wahlberg, if you're listening, let me in, even into the outer circle. Get me into the outer ring.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Hey, David.
Yes, Adam.
I would love to hear your sports, and we're going to in 1 second. But one thing attached to the news that just came in, I want to tack on.
Oh, this is marvelous.
Was I was watching ABC News, local news out here, about 6 o'clock. Must have been the 6 o'clock news. The first story they had up was some sort of protest that was going on in downtown, and they issued a report from the street reporter who was out there, and he bumbled a word a couple of times that will be straightened out for you in the same report. But let me just hear what I heard last night at 6:03.
There was one arrest for profanity and a little bit of what are they calling it? Just sort of defecation in public or defecation of public property, defacing public property, although they are calling this a very peaceful demonstration. Live downtown Los Angeles, Michael Ullman reporting ABC 7 Eyewitness News. Back to you.
I assume we're talking about defacing public property. Micah, thank you.
Yeah, because here's the thing. The reason I knew there was a problem. First, my eyes lit up immediately. My ears perked up. What? Defecation? In public. Now, that's my kind of protest, number one.
Was
number
your buddy
two,
Ray there?
That's what I thought. And then number two, a little bit of defecation. How's that work? You just let the head peek out and then you suck it back in? Or a little bit. I'd say that's a switch with no dimmer on it as far as defecation goes. You're either in or out in the defecation league. You're either defecate or you don't. A little bit was interesting, but I was very intrigued. Oh, all right. And it was funny. Whoever was protesting, I hate protesters because they close down the streets and they're all left-wing nut jobs usually. But I was like, defecating. All right. I think I turned the corner on you guys. And then turned out they were
second
defacing
things. Second biggest market in the country. And the newsman is saying that.
That's what a shame.
All right, let me quickly say this, because I do believe we have all-pro linebacker Sean Merriman of the Chargers on the line. Let me just say it was a bad day in Southern California for baseball fans. Tom Glavine, future Hall of Famer, shut down the Dodgers 4-1. Dodgers get to do it again on Saturday at 4:30 local time. Steve Traxel with Greg Maddux, another future Hall of Famer, trying to save the Dodgers season. At least the Dodgers scored. Padres shut out by St. Louis yesterday. Now they have to have their season salvaged tomorrow by Chris Young. Here, let's just listen quickly to the highlights from both those games. None. Awful. All right. Now, the big game this weekend on the NFL slate. The San Diego Chargers host the Pittsburgh World Champions. And let me just say this. A little whet Sean Merriman's appetite. I believe he's listening. Here's what Steeler QB Ben Roethlisberger had to say about it.
They got a great defense. You know, it's more than just Merriman. They've got a lot of guys up front, Castillo and those guys. And their secondary, obviously.
Damn, did you hear that?
It's more than just Merriman. It's more than just Merriman.
Wow. If he wasn't fired up, he's fired up now.
It's more than just Merriman.
Sean.
I got to say that's funny, man. That is funny.
Those are fighting words. He implied that there are other guys on the defensive side of the ball other than you.
Yeah, I mean, and there is, because a lot of coaches and a lot of players before, especially before the season and up to this point, have been saying that, you know, I'm really all we have on defense, and that's not true. I mean, we got a bunch of guys over here. So, he was right about that, but, he's definitely going to have to deal with me.
You're going to punish him. I was watching you guys, heartbreaker to the Ravens last week. Chargers now 3-1, probably could be 4-0. But then the very last play of the game, or at least close to the last play of the game. Oh, they had a bye week.
2-1, yes.
Right, 2-1, yes. They had a bye week. They threw one to Todd Heap, and Sean had him in his crosshairs and unloaded on him, and for some reason just hit him in such a way that he bounced off and crawled right into the end zone.
Yeah, it was tough, man. We went back and seen the film, and the cornerback was pushing him in the back the same time I was hitting him, so he really stayed up. Normally, if I deliver a shot like that, somebody's going down, and I thought the ball was actually in the ground, so I was looking for the ball, and they was falling into the end zone. So
yeah, well, that's why they call you lights out, but every once in a while, you flip the switch, and the light stays on, and yeah. That's what happened with Todd Heap and the Ravens. But do you make a decision a split-second decision of, do I wrap this guy up or do I put my head on the ball and just try to break him in half?
My first decision is always try to break him in half. I mean, I can honestly say that that's the first thing to come to mind.
On and off the field, they stole
yes.
me.
Yes. Life out.
Yeah.
That's right. Store clerks, mailman. First decision, break in half, and then they can talk about it. So, Sean, you guys are going to be playing the Steelers. You guys are 2-1. The Steelers, a surprising 1-2, although people think they're one of the best 1-2s in football, obviously coming off the Super Bowl win. This is going to be a big game. What do you think? How do you feel about it?
I mean, it is going to be a big game, and they are the defending world champs. We got to come out. We got to fight them, and they are 1-2, and they're probably one of the best 1-2 teams right now there. Just playing a lot better, and Ben Roethlisberger is just getting healthy. So if he plays well and they go out there and do what they normally do, I mean, it's going to be a good game, but we got to come out with this win.
Well, and I mean, obviously you're going to lose the game this weekend, but the good news is for you, Sean, is that you're going to get to watch the Steelers linebacker, Joey Porter, and maybe you can learn a few things watching him.
Oh.
Yes.
Sean, would you like to turn Dave's lights out?
Yeah, I wish I could reach to this phone and grab him, but I can't. So I'm sure they'll create some new technology where I could.
Yeah, let's say to reach out and touch someone, but they don't talk about grabbing.
Hey, Sean, how about this? The time for talk is through. It's time for action. You and I, when we met down in San Diego a couple weeks ago, we said, let's make a bet on this game. No, we don't have to involve the spread. Just straight up, you take the Chargers and I'll take the Steelers. Let's make some sort of bet. Here's what I would say. If you guys lose, the following week, or the next sack you make after the Steelers game, when you get up, you have to either do a curtsy like a woman or do a pirouette like a ballerina. Yes?
Neither one of them are going to work for me, man, because I'm trying to it would come out. Something to come out of that game more than often, and you know, me being the size I am, it won't look too good doing either one of those.
Another thing too, he's going to be so pumped full of adrenaline, he's not going to remember your words from your crappy morning show days
earlier.
Do you
have another option for him?
What else do you have?
All right, how about he shaves my initials DD into the side of his head?
You know what? I might be able to deal with that.
Really?
I can deal with that. Nice.
All right, so that's
I can take a picture of it and I can send it to you.
Okay, that's a deal. So if the Steelers win, you have to shave DD into the side of your head, my initials, and then what would you like to have happen in return if the Steelers should lose, which is a moot point because they're not going to.
You got to put on a skirt.
Put on a skirt.
And do what? Does he have to go out in public in it?
All right, Teresa, we don't need any help. I'll put the skirt on.
Trevor, so I have it in my memory. I have it forever. So anytime you want to make a bet like that again, I always have up my hand on you.
Well, now, what is, by the way, Dave and Sean, I guess you guys, even though you're on the team, you probably know what the spread is. I would assume the
Chargers are given 3.
They're given 3, yeah. That sounds sounds about right. So,
well,
but
I couldn't even tell you what a spread is, so I don't even get all that stuff.
Well, but certainly you've learned what a spread is from traveling and all the chicks who hang out in the lobby of the hotel, yes?
True.
Yes. Sean has told me, he told me last time we spoke that he's single, he's ready to mingle, and he's not going to get anyone pregnant. He's not going to do that stupid thing where he gets all tied down and gets into lawsuits and paternity tests and whatnot. Right?
Oh, definitely.
You're single right now?
Oh, yeah.
Toast of the town, Sean Merriman. Well, we wish you luck. I do, at least, this Sunday night. We'll be watching and what should be.
I can't say everybody on the show wishes me luck. But
I've got to get more clarity on this dress thing. You say you want a picture of Dave in a skirt.
Exactly.
If that's what arouses Sean, so be it. I'm happy to do it.
It doesn't seem fair. It seems like the picture should be taken in public.
All right, it's enough.
I do think it should be out on Wilshire.
Yeah,
out
there
in front.
We go.
All right, Sean. Ooh, Sean?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. So, Sean, good luck on Sunday. We'll be watching.
Okay, cool. I appreciate it.
Thanks for checking in with us. The great Sean Merriman, everybody. This should be, the Dallas-Philly game's going to be the most hyped game of the weekend, but probably for the people that have had an ass full of T.O. and that really know the sport, I think the Pittsburgh Chargers game is
point
probably going to be the best.
Game. Yeah, what a day of pro football for us in store. Dallas Cowboys and T.O. at the Eagles, followed by the world champion Steelers at the Chargers.
Sean Merriman.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, so we need to take a break. When we come back, we got the bitch bag coming up. We also have the nut job, Shirley Phelps, calling in. She's the religious nut job, the extremist. She goes out and protests the veterans' funerals. Yes,
she usually protests veterans' funerals because she feels the military is too easy on gays, and that when they, soldiers die, she protests. But her latest thing is that she threatened to protest the Amish girls' funerals.
Mm-hmm.
So she's angry at the Amish.
I have a sort of interesting phone thing that I wanted to get into with the folks because we left a little time in this next break for this. It's apropos of really nothing, but it just struck me. I'd be interested in the most painful moment in your life.
Physically painful.
Physically, emotionally, I'll take, but I got to go physical. I know what mine is. Mine goes all the way back to Pop Warner football. Unfortunately, a lot of folks have many. Other folks like Sean Merriman have inflicted many over their career. But I'd like to know, what happened? Did something come out of socket? Did you get a piece of rebar through your sternum? I'd like to know the one most physical, the most painful physical moment you've ever had.
Extra points if anyone has one of those fractured penis injuries that Dr. Alter was telling us about yesterday.
866-901-ADAM. And there's certain things that are weird. Like, I've dislocated my knee and had to have knee surgery, but it wasn't painful. I've had, other things that were far more painful that didn't require any surgery or maybe even any medical attention. 866-901-ADAM. Tell us your story. We'll talk to you after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Oswaldo reads the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. Number 61, from Scarface.
Say hello to my little friend.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
That one kind of worked, actually.
Yeah.
Brian just sneezed on my dog.
I have to have the dog dipped
now. Molly's in here because we're making our football picks coming up later on this morning. 866-901-ADAM's the phone number. I don't know why I thought of this the other night, just putzing around my house, but I thought, what is the most painful moment you ever had in your life physically? For me, I've had quite a few, but it was definitely dislocating my shoulder playing Pop Warner football. Now, there's a weird full circle thing, which is it reminded me I was playing for the East Valley Trojans out here in Southern California, out in the valley. I was young. I think it was my third year. I played 7 years of Pop Warner football, but it was, I think, my third or fourth year when I had this shoulder dislocation. It reminded me that I'm going to be the grand marshal at the East Valley Trojans Pee Wee game at Burbank High coming up this Saturday. They've asked me to come back and sit in the back of a 87 Mustang convertible and turn a hot lap at Burbank High, waving to the 13 people that have come out to watch your children and not the ace man. But either way, homecoming. Played 4 years for the East Valley Trojans, and then I played 3 years for the Sun Valley Falcons. Now, the other reason this is coming full circle is my buddy Chris, who I see is on line one, is going to tell us his most painful physical story as soon as I'm done with my long-winded shoulder separation story. And his is running into a cactus on a dirt motorcycle in Baja. And I was there for that. He was there for my injury. I got to tell you, this cactus hurt looking at it. We have our cactus, our California cactuses, are powder puffs compared to what they have growing wild in Baja, California, or Baja, Mexico. We're in Mexico. This cactus had what looked, the spines that were coming off of this thing were just the same as the round, thick toothpicks and just as long.
I would think it could kill you.
It would have killed any normal man. But Chris, are you there?
I am here.
Yes. First, I will tell my story, and then we'll get into yours. But I'm looking at other people that are calling in. Pierced penis in prison.
I got to hear that.
That sounds like it could have been painful.
That's some Prince Albert.
Shattered the shin. That's a tough one playing football. But first mine, East Valley Trojans. Oh, man, probably, 1977, 1978. I was having a good season up until then. Everything was fine. quarterback went on a rollout just before halftime. I chased him down and did something freaky to my shoulder where it came out of socket. And it came so far out of socket that it was out of socket for 4 days.
What?
4 days. And to the best of my knowledge, I must have the record for out of socket. Maybe there's a couple of guys who fell off a mountain hiking and weren't found for a week. But for the under 12 division, I must have the record for joints out of socket. My shoulder was out of socket for 4 goddamn days, and it was excruciating. And you're talking to a guy who had his knee out of socket, and it wasn't that big a deal. For some reason, the shoulder is just closer to the viscera or the middle of the body, whatever it is. It was brutal. Now, Chris, you were there, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. It looked so painful, and you were on your back, and you were squirming around and just could not stop, whining. We had to have an ambulance out onto the field.
Yes, it was a Pop Warner game where they called an ambulance, and they stopped the game. They called an early halftime. Because,
oh, yeah, for 15 minutes early, something like that.
None of the dads wanted to touch me. They cut my jersey off in the center of the field, and they cut my shoulder pads off. And I guess when the dads that gathered around me, because, you know, they didn't have medical staff at these games. When these guys' dads and the assistant coaches and the guys looked at my shoulder, they probably looked at each other and said, I'm not moving him.
Because was the shoulder, like, where was it? Did it look low?
It was
low?
Broken and out of the socket.
So
it was in front of his body, and it would be where your areola would be. it was down and in front. It was awful looking.
And I couldn't be touched. I couldn't be moved, because once I was done rolling around, because it couldn't get any more painful, at that point, you couldn't, if a butterfly landed on my small toe, I would have screamed. So they got the ambulance, and they just called halftime. And we just waited in the middle of this field somewhere in the San Fernando Valley in some high school till the ambulance showed up. And they got me out, and they got me onto the gurney, but it was brutal. And they got me into the gurney, and I, you know, there's a couple things I remember. I remember getting wheeled out of the stadium, and I remember the speed bumps in the parking lot of the school, because they put the speed bumps so the kids don't hot dog it in the school. Every time that ambulance hit a speed bump on the way out to the street, I just squealed from the back of this van.
Don't they usually just pop it back in?
The guys who were driving the ambulance did not feel qualified, just like the dads who were standing around me to pop it back in. Obviously, there was something about this that looked so bad that they figured we're going to let the experts handle it. So I rolled into the emergency room, and they shot it up with something, and they made it an attempt to pop it back in, and it would not go back in, and they didn't know what to do either.
You're a 12-year-old boy, shirtless with football pants and cleats and such on.
Yes.
With your shoulder hanging
where
in front
the areola
of you.
Would be. Ugh.
Yeah, and it was broken.
I'm aroused.
And so they wheeled.
So
what they did is they sent me home, and they said, you need to see an orthopedic surgeon the following day. They taped the shoulder to my arm so it could not be moved at all. And then I went home, and I proceeded to eat a TV dinner and urinate into a bottle off of the sofa because I couldn't move. I couldn't stand up. It was so painful. It was still out of socket. The following day, I went to an orthopedic surgeon. He shot it up, and he tried to pull it back into place, but he couldn't get it back into place either. And the thing about your shoulder when it's out of socket, you will give the nice man in his 40s with the salt and pepper hair who just shot you up full of something one shot. You get one shot. If that one attempt to get it into place, if that doesn't work, there's no second because you're screaming and reeling and it can't come near you after that. So he realized he couldn't get it back in. So now I'm on day number 3 where I have to check into a hospital. Now I check into a hospital and it's out for that day because they're going to do it the following morning under general anesthesia. They're going to put me to sleep, and then the guy's going to put his foot on my neck and pull it back into place, which they did do. But it was 4 days of shoulder out of socket. And the good news is the next year when football season came around, my folks who had a hands-off approach to the Ace Man's life, did buck up and say, well, one thing you're definitely not doing this year, you're definitely not playing Pop Warner football. And I said, oh, really? Yes, I am. I'm definitely playing. And they said, are you crazy if you injure that shoulder again? The doctor told my mom that my arm was in danger of not growing correctly. Ooh. It was so effed up. And they were like, look, we're horrible parents, but even we know that you're not going to play another year of Pop Warner football, because if this happens again to the shoulder, you may be crippled for life. And I said, well, that's where you're wrong. And the good news about parents that don't really do anything for you growing up is they don't get a vote. I was 12 now or 13, and I said, oh, no, I'll be playing this year. And they were like, no way. And I was like, well, yes, I am. And then I made them a deal. I said, look, here are your two choices. Either I play my fourth year of Pop Warner football and risk this injury, or I do not talk to you. And I went 1 week, 1 or 2 weeks with that, uttering a word, not just conversationally, but just stuff like, do you want another helping of spaghetti? There was no answer. No thumbs up, no head nod.
That's not a normal human being not speaking for a week or two. This is Adam Carolla going with
that. It doesn't go unnoticed.
I didn't speak to him for over a week, not a syllable. And eventually I just said, like, look, screw you. I hope you're crippled for life. Go ahead and play again. And I played for another 6 years, 7 years. No problems.
Wow.
Thank you.
The best part about that, Adam, the best part about that game is that once you were carted off the field, we were all, I think we were 12, so all the boys were obviously crying real tears. And, you know, once for Adam, I was one of the team captains, of course, and we were, you know, we huddled up and got on a knee, and I think we took the game for Adam. We did win that game.
Oh, good. I didn't remember how it turned out. Yeah, I can imagine being a little traumatized seeing an ambulance pull onto the field for a Pop Warner football game.
That was out at Monroe High.
That's right, out in the valley. Yeah. Now, my buddy Chris, let's see, it'd be about 10 years after this incident, we were working for the same construction crew, and we used to go to Baja every year. We go to Mexico. We just get a bunch of trucks, a bunch of booze, a bunch of fireworks, motorcycles, surfboards, and you can just cross the Mexican border if you're not scared of being killed. You can go on a dirt road, and you can just drive along the beach. It's like a Corona commercial. You can just drive your trucks. There's no laws. Hmm. That's good for you. It's also good for whoever's robbing you as well. But you just drive along the beach, surf naked, light fireworks off, take fireworks, take M80s, duct tape them to bottle rockets, fire them right off your campsite right into the ocean. I bought a beautiful sombrero. I noticed it was 20 feet from my camp. Chris said, what's that doing over there? I said, I don't know. I started walking toward it. It blew up.
I blew it up.
Put an M200 in it. Blew a big burnt hole in the top of it. I wore it around, of course, after that, like a cartoon. But the point is Chris was riding his motorcycle, and he was wearing, what were you wearing, Chris? Do you remember?
I had motorcycle, of course. I wore motorcycle pants, motorcycle boots. I had a pair of Eric Estrada Ray-Bans on, the cop glasses.
But no shirt, right?
No shirt, no helmet, just glasses.
Ugh. He got, all I know is I was back at the camp trying to make some fireworks or drink some booze, and I heard somebody calling Chris is in a whole lot of trouble. You got in a motorcycle accident where you were launched into a cactus, and Chris, please find the pictures you took of this cactus. This cactus was a monster. It, first off, just growing wild in Mexico along the rugged Baja coastline. It was as big as a car, and it had spines coming off it that were the size of those full-size thick toothpicks. There were two and a half inches long, and they were everywhere. And the cactus was so nasty that when he finally got out of the cactus and the broken off pieces were stuck to his hands and stuck to his chest and stuck to his body, you couldn't grab the cactus to pull it out of him because you would be speared too, right, Chris?
That's right. I had two pieces stuck to my hand, and you guys had to put a motorcycle boot, step on it, and literally kick my arm so that they would come off of my hand.
Oh, my God.
It really was as if you took the nastiest, scariest cactus you've ever seen in your life and said, look, take your shirt off, get a running start, and dive into it as fast as you can run. You would say, first off, I'm not physically possible of doing that. Like, it's like saying, hold your breath until you die. Like, I can't do it. And I could say, I will give you, I got this attaché case in here with $5 million. Just get a run at it. And you'd say, thanks, but no thanks.
I'm
can't
surprised
do it.
You only had two needles in your hand. Did you have any other needles in you?
Oh, no. He had many.
Millions of needles.
Millions
in
of needles.
Really?
There was a hole in the road that I didn't see. I looked back to see where one of our other riders were, and I looked up, and there was a giant crater in the middle of the road. So about 25 miles an hour, I went front wheel first into the hole, and then my body proceeded to Superman itself into, got hurled into the sea of cactus. and then about... two beats later, the motorcycle landed on top of me.
And this is in the middle of nowhere. There are literally 50 miles of dirt road before you even hit paved highway. And that when you do, you just hit some guy with a bunch of chickens in a cinder block house. I mean, there's no medical anything. He was so effed up. I do remember this detail. Could not wipe his own arse when making a duke in the
Who
sand.
Did it?
Our buddy John did.
Oh,
I said, let the pros handle that one. But it had no use of his hands. I got to say, once we stepped on the cactus with the boot and kicked his hand off it because it was so impaled in the cactus that when he broke free, the cactus was still stuck to him. You couldn't pick up the piece of cactus that came from him. You would be effed up. And even guys that were wearing leather motorcycle gloves could not handle the piece of cactus that was on Chris's hand.
Well, what did you guys do? Did you rush him to the hospital or you stayed and kept drinking?
We still had more booze and we still had more fireworks.
Well, no, we stayed another 3 days.
What's wrong with you people?
He's a big boy.
And now listen, so we had eight guys, but we had six pair of tweezers. So these guys would have to literally unzip my pants when I had to urinate, get my stuff out, help me put it back, feed me. But I didn't want to ruin the trip. It really was one of those things where I didn't want to ruin the trip. So I stayed in the tent. I ate as much as I could, and I got to watch them have fun.
Holding another man's wang while he pees would ruin the trip.
Yes, well, it's an interesting point. It's not holding the wang, it's the number two.
That's really the rough part.
That was a spirited game of rock, paper, scissor to see who was on that detail. I got to tell you why. And I'll tell you, a definite front runner for definitely not a Jew coming up next week. Motorcycle, dirt bike, Mexico, Baja Desert, hits a cactus, and then rides it out for the next 3 days before we head back. Chris, please find the picture of that cactus. If he took a picture of it. When I see it, I shiver like I'm standing at a public urinal. I just see it and go, ugh. When I looked at it, I almost just like started throwing up when I realized you flew into this thing. All right,
I do have pictures of the whole event, and I'll send them in.
Please.
Good.
Thank you, Chris. Wow. We have some good stories in here, and we're going to get to them. Split head open, tongue of trailer. Not sure what that one means. Finger chopped off clean.
Ooh.
Shattered chin. Some great painful stories. We'll hear about them. Also, Bitch Bag coming up as well after this.
It's time for the Friday Morning Bitch Bag.
Mike August. He'll be here early if there's porn stars on. Just goes to show that he still hasn't gotten laid and he has to drool over women who get paid to have sex. I bet you couldn't pay them to have sex with him.
There is a postscript on this bitch. It says, P.S. Brusca paid me.
It's impossible to be sympathetic to you when you talk about how early you get in and how hard you work when several of us get in earlier.
Oh, no.
And all of us stay longer.
Wow.
That seems like a good point.
No, she's crying already.
Who's it going to be this week?
Gentlemen's bet. My money's on Brusca. And I pray it's not Teresa.
Let's find out on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, we will be drawing from the bitch bag very soon.
Don't
first.
Hold it back!
Teresa had a nice idea, if I may say, like every other week. We only are now going to do it every other week, the bitch bag, so that the hate can build up over 2 weeks. But in between, maybe we could do a nice bag. What'd you call it?
Yes, I called it the bliss bag,
where we say
something nice about each other.
You better turn to something.
That doesn't seem like as much fun, but it might be.
I think it will be.
I call that the douche bag. But, well, I'll consider it. Bitch bag, funnier. More painful, but funnier. We'll get to that. But first, your most painful physical stories. I don't know how you're going to top flying into a cactus, but we can try. Ramon, line one. What's happening, Ramon?
What's happening, Adam?
Good to speak to you. What's your most painful story?
I had myself a fractured penis.
Uh-oh.
We talked about the fractured penis with Dr. Alter yesterday, the plastic surgeon. It happens. You got it. You must seek immediate medical attention.
It could be very dangerous.
It looked like a crime scene. It was just blood. It was dark, of course, and so I didn't realize it at first what had happened. Mm-hmm. And boom, it was just like... Turn on the lights, you know, and blood everywhere. It looked like, you know, Friday the 13th or something.
Blood actually got out of your penis, because normally fracture your penis, you bleed internally.
Yeah,
I had a fractured penis and a ruptured blood vessel at the head.
Were you having sex with her on top?
No, it was doggy style.
So that's all on you.
But my wife got a big old butt.
All right.
But it was just like, and she was all, you know, she's a good girl. She wanted me to lie to the emergency technicians and stuff. I'm just all, this is my, you know, my penis right here. You know, I ain't lying, you know, about nothing. The blood was just covered. I passed out too, because once, you know, I went to the bathroom to take a good look, see at it, and bam, I was like, whoa.
You saw the blood and you freaked out.
It wouldn't stop,
you know.
Wow. So you went to the emergency room, you told them what happened, and what did they do to fix it?
Oh my God. It was like, that was one of the worst parts. It was like the doctor looked like Three Stooges on crack or something. And he's trying to tell me that, because, you know, like I said, it ruptured at the head. And he's trying to, you see that little purple spot right there? I think that's just a little piece of skin that came off. I'm like, dude, you know, because I'd never heard of a fractured penis before. And I'm scared, you know, spotless, you know.
No, I do. I think most guys look at their penises, at least in its erect form, as indestructible. For me, it's sort of like Popeye after he eats his spinach. When it's flaccid, my penis could be whooped by any foe. But once it's erect, stand back.
Ironically, you can hurt it worse when it's erect, because it can snap.
Yeah, I know. It's like when it's limp, it's like a yoga instructor. You can't hurt it.
It's loose.
Yeah, it's very limber. But when it gets hard, it gets rigid, muscle bound, and that's when the damage happens. But
yeah, it's like Bruce Banner being tougher than the Incredible Hulk.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's the name. Bruce, my sack's called Incredible Hulk, and then Bruce is the name of the penis. Let's talk to Troy, who has an interesting injury. Troy?
Hey,
oh, no, wait a minute. He did something to his wiener, too.
His penis?
I'm gonna add one buffer in between our wiener injury calls.
Oh, good.
Let's see. I like Rose. Rose, most painful story, please.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Good to speak to you, Rose.
It happened about 2004. I was home from the military. My niece's fourth birthday was coming up. We were headed out to, I won't say the places, but we stopped into a Denny's restaurant before we were taking my niece to SeaWorld. You know, I had to make a head call, restaurant call.
You pull out all the stops for someone's birthday going to Denny's.
No, we went to IHOP, but she's a four-year-old, so go figure.
All right.
So I was going to the restroom, you know, and courtesy is to hold the door open for, you know, your older people. So there was a couple of older ladies coming out of the door. I was holding it open at an angle, and I guess the spring in the back of the door, I don't know what it did. It happened so fast, but somehow my finger got stuck between the door and the wedge of the door.
Yeah.
And the tip of my finger nipped off, and I didn't even feel it. I didn't feel nothing.
Well, you didn't feel nothing.
Because it severed the bone, and it was at an oblique angle, and all I could see, my sister said it looked like a Hollywood movie, the way the blood...
You rarely hear, I didn't feel nothing, followed by oblique angle.
I know. That is a weird...
You got a lot of range, Missy.
Yeah,
it's a lot of range.
The vocabulary is good. The grammar, not as much.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Well, it's because it happened so fast. Like I said, I didn't even know where the hell my finger was. I'm looking on the floor.
Did you find it?
Yeah, and here's where it kind of gets kind of nasty. You know, I'm covering...
It was in a grand slam.
Do what?
The door.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In Amigas.
Yeah, something like that. But I was covering my finger because it's like... You could see where the bone had...
Oh, yeah.
the sock, and you could see the hole. You could see down in the finger. Yeah, I know. Trust me. I look at video of this when it was, because it was a week or so before I seen the actual doctor. Right. They rushed me to one of the Air Force bases up where, you know, where I was, since I'm a military member.
I don't want to correct you, but I think it's sawn the doctor.
It was a week before you saw the doctor.
I seen the doctor. You know, I was covering my finger because there were little kids around, and everyone's like, what the heck, what the heck? And I'm like, Mom, I lost my finger. She's like, what? And I'm like, I lost my finger. And my mom's like, as stunned as I am, and, you know, I'm like, Mom, I lost my effing finger. Find my effing finger. Okay? So we rushed back to the restroom area because we don't want all these kids to see this little incident or whatever. Right. And so we're looking around or whatever, and some stranger I didn't even know because nobody even helped as far as management or anything like that at the restaurant. You know, my sister's looking for my finger, and sure enough, they peeled it out of the door wedge.
I must say, I have talked to many people who've gotten their fingers slammed in doors, cab doors, hotel room doors. Playing games, kids chasing each other around the house, one just behind the next and slamming. If you think about it, if you picture a door, especially a commercial door, hollow core door, or especially a solid core door, they're thick, they have a sharp edge. Oftentimes, the jam is metal, the frame that goes around the door. And if that door slams, it is going to essentially just slice off anything that's in it. And a lot of people walk around, they get out of the car, they grab sort of the jamb of the cab, they walk through the door, they'll put their hands on the jamb. I'm going to train my kids to stay away from that. I'm not sure how exactly, probably by showing them pictures of door jams and beating them with a switch. But either way, stay away. Just don't put your fingers. Put your hands in your pockets when you pass through the threshold.
Well, when we were getting in the car, my mom would always say, fingers and toes, like to make sure before you shut the car doors that everyone's hands were in there.
Is that before or after your stepmom said you were adopted?
Well, she would tell me to gently and place my hand in the door and keep
fingers and toes in the door wedge.
In the door. Garden hoses in the exhaust pipe.
Exactly. Asbestos pillows. Very comfortable.
Alfonso, now I'm ready to get back to this guy's penis injury in prison. Suffering a penis injury in the joint is something you wish upon no man. Joint in the joint. Joint damage in the joint. Troy?
Hey, Adam.
What were you in prison for?
Well, back in the day, I was messing around with that methamphetamine. Ain't no good stuff, man.
No.
I haven't done the phone.
Speaking of meth. So, Troy, you're in the joint, and you decide to do a little body piercing.
Yeah, well, I was doing a little body piercing just to make a little commissary around there, and then I was sitting in my cell, and I thought I was a little bored, and I thought I'd go for the Prince Albert, and I use a sewing machine needle, if you have any idea what size that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me just cut you off here. A lot of people that I speak to, especially in my former job, a lot of screwed up teenagers, when I'd say, why would you do this, or why did you, whatever, I was bored. I was bored, so I put the spear through my tongue. I was bored, so I pierced my sack. I was bored, so I gave myself a tattoo with a butter knife and a Bic pen. Look, when you get that bored, it means, A, it's time to masturbate. As long as you have masturbation in your back pocket, you can never be that bored. Number one. And two, there's always a nap. Or if you're like me, you combine the two. But if I ever get so bored, and I'll do that sometimes, I'll be sitting around thinking, maybe I should pierce my own junk with a crocheting needle, and then I'll go, time to masturbate.
So you can imagine you can only nap so long and you can only masturbate so long.
Oh, yeah. I've not reached near my threshold with either one of those.
Well, where was your cellie at the time?
Well, I actually happened to be by myself in the cell at the time.
Mm-hmm. So you pierced.
Kind of fluctuates. Sometimes you get a cellie, sometimes you don't get a cellie. When you don't got one, that's when the masturbation is on.
So you decided to pierce your junk. That's right. Let me get this straight. No cellie means masturbation with cellie. Quiet masturbation. So
well,
Troy,
you got a curtain. Then you just kind of put the curtain up and kind of separate your cellie and just kind of take care of your business quietly.
Yes, we're digressing. You decided to pierce your junk, and what went wrong?
Well, it got infected and it became swollen, very, very, very swollen, about the size of a fist.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get nobody to help me. The nurses didn't want nothing to do with it. The doctors didn't want nothing to do with it. And they just kept giving me this little antibiotic ointment to put on it. And it didn't help. I had a swollen head for about 6 months.
I've seen the procedure done by professional.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, let the professionals handle the piercings. You mean the guy who's covered with tats with the wooden plate in his lip and the GED? That guy? Not sure if he's a pro. Head shaved. Says F the LAPD on each eyelid. Not sure if I call that a professional, but I have seen the penis pierced professionally. There is no local anesthetic given when they do these crazy piercings on the genitalia. I could make an argument for this over root canal as far as anesthetic went. I really think I could make a very compelling argument for this. If there ever was a time to apply a little local anesthetic, it is to the joint when you're piercing it with a rod. But I've seen it done. It's hard to look at. I don't understand why anyone would do it.
I was just thinking that. Why do you want a pierced penis?
I think especially a lot of people who've experienced pain in their life become sort of hooked on it, and they want to do it to themselves before somebody else does it to them again. It's like the chicks that cut on themselves.
Right.
All right, we'll take one more. I'm going to give you guys a choice. Grinder wheel broke off, hit him in the nuts.
What else?
Downhill skateboard crash. Doctor missed with Novocaine.
Yeah.
And pulled a nail.
Yeah.
Hopefully there was a nail in the person. Pierced head of penis, we got that one. Crash car, leg turned 180 degrees. Ugh. Split head open on trailer hitch. Tore open anus on knob in shower.
I think we've got a winner. Clear winner.
Bob.
Good morning, Adam.
Bob, what happened with the knob?
First of all, Teresa, I love you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, okay, so I was living in Whittier at the time. I'm calling from San Francisco now, but my young son, he was like 2 years old, so to expedite things, we were going to go to a hoedown in Manhattan Beach. So to expedite things, my wife had me shower with my son to get him ready to go while she was getting the baby ready, and they were all getting dressed up. All right.
Look,
I'm giving you because it comes into play later.
Well, let me ask you something about a rush to get to the hoedown.
Okay.
What happens? You're 10 minutes late, they don't let you into the hoedown?
I was married. I was doing what I was told.
Is it possible to be late for a hoedown and who notices?
Well,
the drunk miners drinking off the cider jug?
He couldn't stop going. He had to join a two-step program.
Well,
thank you.
We've never been on time for much of anything anyway. So
you're showering with your son. How old's your son?
He's like 2 years old, and he stands about up to my mid-thigh, I guess, you know, like a two-year-old would. And so I got him all lathered up with soap. And you know how the shower, when you're down there.
Yes.
So I was going to lift him up and hold him underneath the shower to rinse him off.
Uh-huh.
So I squatted down to rinse him off. Now, my back is facing the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that little knob on the faucet that you engage the shower with?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's sort of the one where you can decide whether it's going to come out the spigot or come out the shower head.
It's usually not. Is it perfectly round?
It's not a ball round. It's rounded on the top, but it's like a head of a screw.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I squatted down and direct hit. Right there. And so my initial, I felt shock. I had no idea what had happened. It was like this.
Did the shower turn on?
The shower turned off.
The garage door opened.
When I stood up again, the shower went back on. And no hand.
Yeah, you know, I started thinking about your son, and I realized
he hasn't pooped for 15 years.
Yes, he's going to have to go. It's going to be one of these scenes where, you know, how old is your son now?
He's 19.
Your son's 19. He goes to his freshman year at the college.
Yeah,
you're going to use the dorm.
State. I hope you're listening, Sam.
And one of his friends is like, hey, Sam, why are you taking a bath? Why don't you take a shower in this guy? Don't worry about it! And then he starts crying. That's like, wow, that was weird. I just asked him if he wants. Yeah, don't ask him if he wants to shower. I don't know what's up with that.
Well, the weird thing is with Bob's story is that I think a lot of guys try to shove stuff up there, and then when they go to the doctor, they make up a story like, I accidentally slipped and the shower knob went up there.
Right.
But in this case, it was
real.
I'm
not as tight as I used to be.
Yeah, so what damage did it do?
So, I it shocked me. I must have screamed because my wife came in and grabbed the kid out of the Sam out of the tub, and I turned around and I see this flap of skin hanging off that. So I'm thinking, and at that point it was like a that Psycho movie. The blood starts running down my leg, and so off to the hospital we go. I haven't worn underwear since I was like 15 years old, and so I had to wear a pair of my wife's panties with a maxi pad, dressed like hillbillies, going into the hospital.
Oh man,
this is in Whittier.
Go down.
It was, and at that point, it hurt like crazy. But they shot me with something, and they were.
Now this happened.
Joking.
Yeah, this happened in Whittier.
Yeah,
but you're now calling from San Francisco.
Correct. I had to leave the town.
It's too bad you weren't in San Francisco because they have.
I could have gotten away with it there.
Yeah, they have one of the best anal trauma units. Dr. Eubangus is one of the foremost experts in reconstructive
age. Yeah, and you're in good hands.
They would have known exactly what to do with you over there. But Whittier, not a great anus trauma town. As a matter of fact, I keep a laminated thing in my chart. On one side of it, it has a tipping breakdown of how to tip. Bill comes in. And the other thing, greatest cities to have anal trauma. Whittier, at the bottom.
It will.
Pardon the pun.
About a year and a half later, at the same hospital, I wound up having to go to rehab. So I checked myself in for one of those 28 days.
Oh, wait a second. Were you intoxicated at the time of the anal incident?
A wee bit.
Oh.
I had just come back from work and stuff, and I work as a chef. And anyway, so I go back to, and I'm registering to go into this rehab, and they go, you're the guy with the a-hole.
That's nice.
We were waiting for you to come back.
Yeah. I'm not so sure how protocol goes when you admit somebody into a rehab. I'm not sure if you're supposed to bring up the anal trauma they had some months earlier.
No, I didn't bring it up.
The guy behind the counter.
Yeah.
All right, Bob, but the point is you're sober now.
Absolutely.
Well, you're living in the beautiful Bay Area.
Yes, I am. I live, work, and shop right on Union Square, and life is good again.
Your son is scarred emotionally more than your behind.
He didn't get to ride the mechanical bull at the hoedown that night.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. But I'm no longer married, though.
Wow, what a shocker.
Yeah, I know.
Well, 2 steps to 12 steps.
Short order cook with a booze problem who has suffered severe anal trauma.
But he's cleaned up.
Surprised that who thinks it's a good idea to shower with his son. I can't believe that one didn't go on forever. Okay. Now, unclear why you had to wear the wife's panties with the tampon.
He didn't own any underwear. Right, Bob?
Even if you don't wear, I put them on hold. If you don't wear underwear, you should have it. Least one pair on hand
for just such an emergency.
That's right. All right. The bitch bag, Brusket. You want to pull? Maybe we'll pull it and do it in real time.
Oh,
I feel like we're running late and break.
We got a break.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
oh, yes. I mean, I didn't make myself clear. Pull it and do it in real time next break.
Yes.
We're running late. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll do Friday's bitch bag after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. The Carolla Show tribe has gathered together for a little something we call the Friday Bitch Bag. Everyone has to put a complaint about another staffer into the bag. And when the tribe has spoken, the person with the most complaints has to read them live on the air. Who's it going to be? Let's find out on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I don't know because I don't put a bitch in the bitch bag. I think it would hurt too much.
That's why you delight in it so much.
That's
it's
right.
Terrible. You sit up atop Mount Piety in judgment of
right.
the rest.
He has to recuse himself because his vote would be 100 times as hurtful as anyone else's.
I am open to people voting for me, though, and it's happened before. You can speak the truth.
Right.
I resent it when people say, oh, please, who's going to say anything bad about you?
Yeah, but you got bitched for sticking up for me. That was horrible. So it was really a bitch for me through you.
I look at myself as a very ambivalent/lazy leader. If you have something bad to say about me, knock yourself out. I'm not going to fire you for voicing your opinion.
I don't know about that.
You've known me for many years. Have I ever done that to anybody?
What?
Let's move on.
No, oh, wow.
No, of course not. But of course, you're not. The reason you're not going to get votes is because you don't vote yourself, you see?
Okay.
That's
all right.
The reason.
But the votes are anonymous.
Mike August has immunity because he was the winner or loser 2 weeks ago when we did it.
It was ugly.
Leaders so far, August has been voted the bitch 2 times. Dave has 2 times. Bruska has 2 times. Mention the title, Bruskin.
No, of all these people, if we pull names.
Oh,
and Dawson,
yes. Sorry.
People don't know who Dawson is.
Sorry. You're right. You're right. Dawson. I'm not sure what he does.
He's the engineer and the voice of the show.
That's right. Booker August.
Scorer of
Dave, number one sports. Bruska, number one hander of notes. Okay. Let's figure this one out. And I got to say, people are on edge. Now, we had a pretty rough go of it with a couple that Teresa did and a couple that Bruska received. And there's been some fireworks in here. And then we've coasted a few weeks. Had some weeks that were pretty easy. There's an uneasy feeling going on in this studio.
I have a little bit of an uneasy feeling.
I do, too. I don't know the results. I will learn them as you learn them. But there's some weird harbingers of doom around here.
I got a tickle in my belly, but it's not one of joy like the one that Bruska has. This is his favorite thing of the week.
I do like this, but I will say this. I know I have 2 votes for me because 2 people have told me they voted for me, so I'm nervous, too.
What? Oh. That goes against it.
There's some weird energy going around, and all I'm going to say is word on the street is that Teresa may want to take a Xanax right now.
Wait, you mean another one?
Another Xanax. First vote, Bruska. Second vote. Get ready, Brian. Brian. Sound effects, man. Brian. This one just has a T.
That would be me.
On it. That would be Teresa's.
Well, it could be Tad, but I assume.
Oh.
Fourth, Angie.
4 votes, 4 different candidates.
Wow, the hate is spreading.
Brian gets a second one. Sound effects, man. Brian gets his second. Teresa Strasser gets her second.
We're tied,
as well.
Brian.
Phone screener Kyle now receives his first.
That's ridiculous.
Sad, too, when you're getting the $4 an hour guys involved with the bitch bag. Teresa gets her third.
Takes the lead.
Now Brian.
Come on.
Oh. Brian gets his third as well.
Please, one more for Brian.
Well, sorry. This one's going to T as well.
4 for Teresa, 3 for Brian.
And the final going to Teresa as well. Teresa.
Hand him over.
I hope that Xanax is
good. Hand him over. Listen.
Now, you understand that I compulsively laugh when you cry, because
we
funny when you cry, but that's the way I deal with the uncomfortable feeling of your tears. You understand?
Well, it's good, because the way I deal with uncomfortable feelings is I cry.
That's earning something else.
This could be painful.
You know what? Listen, I'd like to say that I've grown a thicker skin. Since the last time I cried,
I was going to compliment you, because last time when the votes were coming down, you started to cry. This time you've been stoic.
There's ice water in my veins, or is that vodka and Xanax and a lethal combination? I don't know.
Now, a lot of people would say, well, take a commercial break and build the anticipation, but I don't want to go through that 5 uncomfortable minutes of everyone staring at each other.
This one isn't
so bad. Yeah.
Shall I begin?
Yes, begin. Bruska, please don't pile on. Here we go.
I have nothing to do with this.
My bitch goes to Teresa. Mm-hmm. It happened a few months back. Oh, timely. But it still bugs me. If you have a problem with someone on the show, go to that person and talk to them about it. Keep it in the family. Don't go to the boss man and rat them out. I think this refers to my talking about Bruska, which I've apologized for several times.
All right. Well, an old wound, but you know, scars.
I'm your friend, but that kind of pissed me off, and I really didn't like you for a while, but now I guess you're cool. That's not bad.
All right.
And I agree. I shouldn't have done that. I apologized, and the person says I'm cool.
You're under no obligation to speculate on who these are coming from.
It seems to me that you try as hard as you can to shoehorn a quip or pun every little break in airspace. Most of your remarks come across as comedy, as there's really no need to punctuate Adam's funny lines with these precocious bits of wordplay. Remember, it's quantity over quality. Well, that's fair.
It's quantity over quality. They're being sarcastic, yes?
Or maybe just stupid. Wait, remember, it's quantity over quality. Maybe they just got confused
about it. It seems sarcastic, but it didn't seem like...
It's confusing.
It's a little confusing. All right, point taken.
Oh, that's confusing.
Well, let's move. Let's not get caught up, and let's move forward.
Okay, sorry, there was stuff crossed out, and I was trying to read it. All right.
Let's forge ahead with the pain.
Okay, sorry. this is kind of similar. My bitch is for Teresa for stepping on Adam and Dave and telling Dave not to chime in during news, even though she chimes in during sports and talks over the sports clips. Have I told you not to chime in the last few months?
You haven't told me not to. You say, like, you're trying to get through it, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I'm usually getting a note from Bresca that I should hurry it along, so if I have done that, I'm only trying to obey Bresca's time schedule.
Don't blame me for this! Somehow
Dave,
this becomes my mm-hmm.
No, it's not your fault. You're trying to keep a schedule, as we all are. Dave sits there like a fairy when Teresa does this.
What now? How do I get Dave?
Please be nice to Dave. Remember, this is the Adam Carolla Show. True mm-hmm. and true.
All right. Well, look.
How am I turned into a fairy?
Turned into?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I was.
This
God
is another person telling
way.
Me I talk too much. I talk too much.
Wow.
Right, point taken. These are all from Jack Silver. And the last one. For trying to get this bit killed. We all take our lumps on the show, either on or off the air. Take one for the team and do it on the air. It's great radio. I think I've done that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I think you could have mustered a couple of tears.
No tears.
Well, here's the thing. I had to take a good look mm-hmm. and evaluate why that was so upsetting. And then I realized, look, it's true. Everyone does take their lumps. And some weeks it's me. Some weeks it's August. Some weeks it's Bresca. Some weeks it's Dave. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got to write something.
Mm-hmm.
And people have a right to their opinions.
Well, I'm glad there are no tears. I thought for a moment this may harken back to some of the pain you had with your stepmother growing
she
up.
She was overly critical, too, so I feel at home.
Mm-hmm. Calling you overweight, saying you were adopted, trying to poison you in the eyes of your beloved father. I just thought for a second you might travel back in time to that place and find some tears.
How come I, though, always get the collateral damage? I'm a fairy. The New York Times a columnist writes an article about Carolla, and she calls me a pie face?
Single, alone, living in a sea of pedophiles. I just thought for a second there might be some tears. Well, look, here's what I want to... Let me say...
I mean, I want everyone to like me, but what can I do about it?
Well, here's...
It wasn't that mean.
Here's what I'd like to say about the bitch bag, because I feel like now... We've had some healing via the bitch bag.
Mm.
Painful, but I think what we just had this morning was what we call a breakthrough in the world of therapy. Teresa, just a few short weeks ago, was a sobbing heap at criticisms that were on a par with this one. Yet, she persevered, and she was philosophical about it, realized that, yes, there's always going to be these issues to go through at work, and there are always going to be naysayers, and the object of the bitch bag is not to talk about what we love about you, but what...
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I've got to learn to...
She's rattled!
The S word came flying out of Teresa's mouth.
I'm sorry, Dump Guy Lance. I'll probably get a bitch from you next week for swearing.
Dump Guy Lance is Dave's screen name. He goes on the internet over the weekends.
To be honest, there's been some healing, and... Mm-hmm. I never take criticism that well because I feel like I'm going to die if somebody doesn't like me.
I don't know. I really don't know who does. I probably or may take it better than most, but even I can't stand it. Nobody does. There are those who are more stoic about it and then those who break down in tears. But either way, they hurt and you feel it. But I have to say, this is not the same Teresa Strasser that broke down a few weeks back, and you've persevered. Could have been easy to pack it up and call everyone idiots and move on.
I think the only thing we can do collectively then is to, you know, go back to it and retry to see if we can make her cry.
What's this do?
I know, and some of the points I agree with. I mean, sometimes I don't know, you know, I'm still sort of new at this, and sometimes I don't know when to speak or not speak, so I've kind of thought some of these things myself.
Well, let me say this before we go to break. People assume that being good at improvisational comedy or being good at comedy or being good at conversational comedy, impromptu comedy, is all about how funny you can be. How quick are you? See, we almost give people the wrong direction. You got to be fast. You got to be funny. Well, fast and funny leads to low batting average and lots of people talking over each other, because now you have three or four people sitting around a microphone. Everyone's edict is be fast, be funny. That makes for cluster F, or if you'd like to say the whole word, T, because I know that's the way you like to do it. Oh, we can bleep you out again. I say one of the, if any kids are listening and looking to do this for a living or looking to even just be better conversationally, one of the greatest lessons learned is when to hold back, when not to chime in, a little restraint, sort it out. Your batting average eventually will come out. They don't care how many trips you made it to the plate. They just want to know how often you made contact and how often the ball went out of the park. People used to love me on Howard Stern. The reason being is I wouldn't talk for a while, and then I'd wait for something good, then I'd come up and do a nice little pinch hit triple, and then I'd go back to the dugout and sit down for a few more innings. They don't care how much you talk, it's what comes out. So knowing when to jump in, and that's what chemistry is. You're new, and also you're eager. See, I don't come down on people too hard because I look at their motivation. I've always said, if a guy crashes my car because he was taking it out to get it detailed and surprise me, I'm not mad. That's the motivation, as opposed to going on a beer run and getting to an accident. I understand you're trying to be funny. You're trying to add to the show. You're trying to get your quips in, and I feel the same with Dave. It's about repetition. It's about chemistry, and I feel like we're finding it.
Well, at risk of another irritating interruption, another confusing thing is that sometimes I get told to talk more. So a lot of days I'm thinking, is this a day when I'm supposed to talk more or less?
I'm quite the little chatterbox tonight, ain't you?
I've been told to talk more by my higher-ups, and I've also been told to talk less, so I don't know.
Well, I'm going to have to talk more to those who told you to talk more. Jeff?
Yes, sir?
You'd like to heap some praise on Teresa? Huh.
Don't change a thing. I love the show just the way it is, and don't change a thing.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, man.
You should be a consultant. It'd be a good gig for you. I would hire you back if you showed up to consult my law firm or my radio station. Hey, man, stay the course. I'm out. Jeff, out. All right, cut that man a check. I never felt better about myself or my product. We'll take a break. When we come back, T.
Yes.
If I was that kind of guy, I would give you a big fat hug when this was over. But feel my arms from across the console.
I shall.
All right. Meanwhile, I'm going to overcompensate by making love to Molly, who lies down at my feet as we speak. Don't you hate those guys that are super bitchy, but they love the snot out of their dog? You know those old queens that scream at everybody they work with, and then they smother their pet with love? Can't stand those hypocrites. Where were we? That's right. Shirley Phelps. She's the one. She's a religious nut job who calls in. And we've talked to her before. She's been all over the news. She goes to funerals of fallen, decorated military servicemen and starts screaming that Jesus is going to take a crap on your grave and I'll see you in hell because you love the gays. And now she was actually threatening to go to the funeral of the Amish kids that were shot. Didn't go because she was let on the radio instead. We'll talk to her after this.
I'm Corolla Show. Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
That's the first time I've had a Herman Melville novel in there.
Oh, you do that just right. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. although Moby Dick does sound appropriate. He did write that, didn't he?
Yes.
What do you know? Never read it, but I know who wrote it. Shirley Phelps is the woman who, she's all over the news. She's the member of the Westboro Baptist Church. She's the one who pickets the funerals because she doesn't like them protecting the fags out there by fighting the Iraqis. And now she's thinking about protesting the Amish kid's funeral, or maybe was dissuaded from it. She is a good time party girl if I ever met one in my life. It's funny, her occupation is civil rights attorney. You would not connect the dots if you met her. You'd probably...
Oh, sweet irony.
Probably have thousands of guesses before you got the civil rights attorney if you spoke to the delight that is Shirley Phelps. We'll speak to her in a moment. First, I want to just finish off. We have some thoughts on the bitch bag. Maria?
Hello?
You're a fan of Teresa Strasser's?
Well, not only am I a big fan of Teresa Strasser's, but she is my she's my main competition right now. She is wickedly smart, so funny, and my husband every single day wants to talk about things that Teresa said. Ooh. I want to talk about you. He wants to talk about Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a pretty big crush on her.
Big crush on Teresa. What's your husband do?
He's an editor for the news.
Mm-hmm. So professional man.
Yeah.
An educated man.
Absolutely.
And he's a fan of Teresa Strasser's.
Big fan. He literally, we talk about the show every day, and he wants to rehash, did you hear it when Teresa said this? Did you hear it when Teresa said he really goes online and looks at her. He likes her.
Yeah. My wife's the same way with Mark and Brian. Sit, break it down, air checks every day. About 6 in the evening, we put on the Mark and Brian air check, and we go through it. My wife laughs maniacally and then just keeps poking me in the side, yelling, why can't you do that? Why can't you do it?
Well, thank you very much, Maria.
All right, Maria.
Thank you.
Yes, you're a nice shot of Bactine on an open wound known as Teresa Strasser. Let's see, Travis, Victor's got an idea. Victor?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
How say you, my douchebag?
F you, Adam.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
And good morning, Chop Liver.
Mm-hmm. Dave Damish.
I go by ferry.
I wanted to say that you should do a listener bitch bag. Because ultimately, it's what the listeners think anyway. Who cares about the people that work there?
It's a good point. Be, in a way, less painful, and in another way, more painful, because these are the people who are trying to enjoy the show.
Exactly. And you'll find out that a lot of people have a lot of bitches with you, Adam.
Mm. Well, let's hear them.
And you, well, me?
Yeah.
Okay. For starters, earlier this week, I heard you saying something a little bit racist.
Mm, like what? What was it?
And this is exactly what you said. You said, eventually, this is going to become Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And
talking about Los Angeles.
Right.
Right.
And Villaraigosa is going to be talking to a bunch of peasants about nothing.
That's
come on,
probably
man.
True. Well, what I did say, and this is the part that sounds racist, is just make sure the reason. First off, I want everyone who's from not only Mexico, but all parts of the world to realize, first and foremost, you are here because your former country sucks. That's why you're here. See, it's a catch 22. It's hard to talk about how great your country is when you're here because there's a reason you're here. You fled oppression, you fled corruption, you fled whatever. The point is you're here for a reason. So let's not glorify where you came from. Let's understand that there's something wrong with where you came from. And if we turn this country or this city into where you came from, well, then we have an inherent problem, don't we?
Yeah, I understand that.
And here's all I'm saying about Villaraigosa. I'm guessing you're a Latino guy, Victor.
Yeah, well, either I'm Latino or Russian. Who else has the name Victor?
That's a good good point, but I'm guessing you're drinking tequila and not vodka today.
That's right.
So, Victor, what I'm saying is imagine, as I've said, I want to take the race or the skin color component out of it because I think people get hung up on that. And I think a lot of people are scared to speak their mind when they're people that are different shades of brown involved with the white man. But let's just take the French. Let's just say it's not Villaraigosa, it's Jacques Lestrap. who's running this city known as Los Angeles. And if he had it his way, we'd be speaking French and English in every school, and that the phone book would be in French and in English, and every other street name would be a French name. And his idea, open the border. We need more Frenchmen in this city. Well, how fast would you, Latino guy, and me, an American guy, throw our hands up and say, hold on, no disrespect, Jacques, but this is not France. We don't want it to be France. We don't mind eating a little pastry once in a while. I don't mind a French bistro, but I want to eat some Thai food. I want to eat some Mexican food. I would like a nice balance. I think that's the best. I feel like in Los Angeles, the balance is being thrown off. I feel like we're going too far in the direction of France, and I'm willing to put my hand up and say something about it.
You know what, but that's true. You have a good point. But the fact is that it'll happen.
That's enough.
You don't have anything against the Latin people.
No, I don't have anything against any people. I feel like I want balance. I want it to be a melting pot. I want it to be a nice mixture of everything. Latin folks, ton to offer. So do European folks. Canadians, not sure what they do, but I'm going to look it up and find out what they have to offer. The point is I want a balance. We are out of balance in Los Angeles. And the idea that we're going further and faster into the wrong out of balance direction alarms me. Yes. And we're going faster. Here's the racist part, by the way. We're going faster in the out of balance direction with a country that's out of balance. That's not a good sign for me. And those of you who want to sit back and let it happen, well, that's your prerogative. Maybe you're stupid, or maybe you're weak-willed. Maybe you're ill-informed. I don't know what you are, but it is going to snowball. It's going to go faster, and then we'll have Mexico. And if you want Mexico here in Los Angeles, that's fantastic. But remember, there's a reason why they're fleeing Mexico. So to recreate that world here, I would argue, is not a great long-term plan. The more you know. What would be nice is if Mexico was trying to recreate what we have here, not the other way around. That's all I'm saying. Brusca, yeah. Go to Mexico and lay down stakes. Bivouac. Start infusing our culture into theirs instead of the opposite. Yes?
Well, you really resolved the issue, Corolla, when you decided that they should move Israel and all its people to Mexico. Mm-hmm. That would really kill two birds with one stone. No more trouble in the Middle East, and Mexico's act would be cleaned up.
That's right. John?
Yeah.
You say Teresa talks too much.
Yeah, she talks too much. It's not the Adam and Teresa, though. It's the goddamn Adam Carolla show.
Yes, that's what we reviewed in the bitches.
Yeah.
I don't want to turn the radio on and hear her talk. She seems like one of the girls that wants to be one of the guys, and she'll give people crap, and then somebody says one thing to her, and she cries.
Am I crying now?
Yeah, she
douchebag.
Did. Yeah.
Am I crying now, you little? Can you say P word?
Go ahead.
Am I crying? No, I'm not crying.
Calm chopped liver, because I'm crying.
I agree. You have a point. I'll talk less. Now move on with your life, loser.
Thanks, John.
All right.
Right back at you, brother. I don't like it when anyone on my staff is criticized, but if it makes me look better, I'm all for it. Let's get that straight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Loudmouth and Racist. Now that when we move the show out of state, that'll be a nice name.
Yeah.
Fairy Loudmouth and Racist coming back at you.
Chopped liver.
Live on Topeka's number one flamethrower FM. K97Y. All right. Now, we will speak to Shirley Phelps. You think I'm bad? We'll speak to Shirley Phelps after this.
Do you have any sense of how much additional pain you would be causing these families by protesting at the funeral of these young girls?
There isn't any way to fix that situation for them. It's not going to be any less painful. If we are there or we aren't there, they did that to themselves, and you say they're not involved.
What did they do that to themselves?
I mean, they sit over there and create their own form of righteousness instead of...
Did those girls deserve to die?
They did deserve to die.
Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
That is the delightful Shirley Phelps talking about the Amish girls that were recently killed, deserving to die. I guess if you're ultra religious, you believe that everything that happens happened by God's will or at God's hand. So even if you're a 9-year-old schoolgirl and some madman comes in there because he was molested 20 years earlier and blows your head off, well, if God let it happen, then there must have been a reason. Man, I got to tell you, I'm an atheist, but there's one thing I would clean out my bank account. I would liquidate everything I own and give it just to believe half of what the super religious people believe.
I am envious of for the same reason.
You
yes.
want to talk about the ultimate trump card? You're on an airplane that's heading toward the ground with a wing on fire, and you're the only one in the plane with a smile on your face because you're going to a better place. To walk around with that kind of peace of mind would be the greatest thing, I think, the greatest gift you could give to a human being. I suspect they don't believe it. That's why they get angry and scream at people all the time. When you really do know something, when you really do believe something, when you really have a 10-inch wang in your underpants, you don't pull it out and wave it at everybody. You just walk around with a limp and a smile. Thank you. The more you know. Shirley?
Yes?
What's happening, my dear?
What the heck was that about?
I don't know my own self. That was the devil working through me.
Shirley, is that you doing that talking?
Shirley Phelps, you have your husband's there with you?
My husband, no, this is my 4-year-old son.
4-year-old. Thank goodness you had kids.
Like grown up people.
Hey, Shirley, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You're a very religious person. What about the devil? Do you believe in him?
Well, of course I believe in the devil.
Now, how does that work then? Like, when you're talking about, let's say, the shootings in Pennsylvania where those poor Amish girls died. Do you believe that that is the work of the devil, or how does that work? Is God doing it or letting it happen? What's your belief system?
Well, here's a verse for you, hon. Mm-hmm. Can there be evil in the city, and God has not done it? God says, I create peace, I create. He lists off all the things he creates, and basically, it amounts to everything. Mm-hmm. And he says, oh my goodness, the scriptures, there's so many of them that say, in essence, all things flow from the hand of the Lord your God. Now, when it comes to a situation like the school shooting, the way that looks is this. He called Nebuchadnezzar. Do you know who that was or not? Do you know that the Assyrian army disposed of the 10 northern tribes of Israel?
Well, no ass, Sherlock.
This is damn exciting stuff.
That's what it says in the Atheist Handbook.
God, right after the bitch bag, I think this person probably hates Jews.
This person...
Yes, Shirley. So
let's
not delve too deep into the scripture here. I'm just curious.
Well, I'll just paraphrase for you.
All right.
He calls these people that he uses to execute his judgment the instrument of my cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
My fury, my indignation.
So the guy who killed the schoolgirls is just an instrument to carry out God's will.
Exactly. His judgment. But, not just his will.
His judgment. All right. But then what do we need the devil for? That seems like he's out of a gig.
Because the devil...
Don't they have unions?
The devil keeps you confused and deceived, which is where you are today, hon.
All right, so the devil...
You are of your father, the devil. He is your father.
All right.
And the lust of your father will you do.
And when you make a point, you make a point. Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
Here's my point. Yes, Jim Carolla is the devil, if you've ever seen the man. Big Jew fro.
I don't know.
He's the devil. Playing a little jazz trumpet and forgetting his grandkids' names. He's the devil, all right. Driving around in a Buick, I lease him. He's the devil.
He is
the devil in sandals and bad shorts. Yes, he is.
Who is he?
All right, now hold on, Shirley. So in your belief system, the devil did not kill these girls. That was God doing it, and the devil's busy polluting my mind.
Who do you think holds the breath of life in his hands?
The devil? Oh, God.
Answer the question. The Lord
I'm going to Lord dear God.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so now, knowing that he holds the breath of life in his hands,
mm-hmm.
of course, he's the only one that has the power to cut off the breath of life.
All right, so he'll make it and he'll break it.
That's right.
And then what about, now it seems like, you know, I understood if it was one of these 70s hippie schools that I went into and there was a massacre, which would have been a probably a step up for the Ace Man in 1973. I understand God going in and taking out one of these hippie free range schools from Billy Jack, but these are ultra religious people, the Amish folks, aren't they? Why do it there?
This is what you need to get real clear about.
Mm-hmm.
That hippie thing you were just describing,
mm-hmm.
that Islamic jihadist that you call a terrorist,
mm-hmm.
that the Taliban, let's include them here,
all right.
the Christian patriots and the Amish people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're all heads of the same monster.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be a 10-headed monster or a 12-headed monster, but it's the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're twins, they're triplets, they're quadruplets. You understand?
So you're saying the Amish no different than the Taliban.
Exactly. Now you're getting somewhere in the eyes of God, because all of you have your own form of goofy righteousness, your own standards that you've set, and they're
mm-hmm.
all contrary. You know not God, you obey not the scriptures, you're contrary to the
right.
Lord your God. So therefore you are all alike.
Right. But one group makes lanyards and churns their own butter, and the other makes improvised explosive devices
exactly.
and blows them off in Pizza
there
Huts.
There you go. But none of them serve God. So they're
right,
all
but
going
if
to
you,
hell together.
If you got to give a nod to one, the Amish versus
no,
the
you
Taliban.
Don't give a nod to any, hun. You just don't give a nod to any. You say, fear God, keep his commandments, give glory to him.
Well, let me ask you a hypothetical, Shirley.
Okay.
If there's a knock on the door and you answered it, would you rather see a guy standing there with a beard, no mustache, and a butter churn, or a guy wearing a black hood over his head and a vest full of plastic explosives?
Well, whoever it is standing there,
I'm going to tell you honestly,
because you know I've stood on
you the said there's no difference
America.
Between the two, but who would you
yes.
rather move in next door?
I don't give a rat's ass.
You don't care? You don't care whether
don't
it's the guy's going to blow up your porch or the guy's going to make his own butter?
Don't you see? They're not going to blow up my porch.
Oh, the Lord, my God,
watches my back. They would have already blown up my porch had they tried. They did try.
So nothing bad happens to people who believe in the Word of God?
Yeah, you believe.
This country set off an IED at our church to try to shut us up.
Mm.
It didn't work. It didn't accomplish anything. It
nice.
Didn't hurt anyone. It
would have been nice if your mom set off an IUD in her before your dad hopped on her. Hey, let me say this. God is not your personal airbag. He's not floating
he's not
over you,
person,
protecting
yeah.
you from danger, you understand?
Yeah, he is my personal. He is my personal safety net, and he is not your baggage boy. That's what you think he is. You think he's your personal, but he thinks he's your grandfather. He's your good old stupid drunk that gives you presents on Christmas.
Uh-huh.
That's not your God. Your God is a consuming fire. He's the God that's going to kick your ass, look you in the eye, and send you straight to hell. And when he does that, you can look over your shoulder at him as he's got you by the nape of the neck, ready to drop you into hell's fire, and say, ha-ha, I don't believe in you. Go on, do that. Now, wrap your mind around that mental image,
wow.
and then get smart.
I got a serious contact buzz going off, Shirley. I have, you know what it is? you know when you hang out with guys that are really stoned, you start feeling stoned too?
No, hon, I don't know because I've never
done
that.
you should come over to Hades where I live, baby. It's nothing but a pot party and a good time.
You should come over to the land of Zion.
I'd like to
the land, and you'll just find that it's a lovely place.
I've been to Utah. I would like to ply you with a couple of pot brownies and see what base I could get to with you, sweetie.
All right, hon.
I guarantee at least third base.
How about
eat anything that you prepared.
Shirley, how did you, speaking of food, how did you break the Yom Kippur fast, by the way, the other day?
Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
I was saying...
We don't live under the law of Moses, silly boy.
I was saying... Hang on. Just call him a buzzard-beaked Jew. I know you're dying to say it.
Is that what he is?
Oh, yes.
Well, hon, is he a Jew that accepted Christ or one that rejected him?
Of course, both.
He's
what? You can't accept and reject Christ. So what is it? Tell the truth.
I can't.
Tell the truth.
He's not a Jew for Jesus, if that's what you mean.
I'm answering your question, so tell the truth.
It's too much pressure.
He's the wily North American Jew,
no,
not the Eastern spotted Jew.
He's rejected
Yes.
And he's going to hell for that.
Right, hold on one second. I want to speak without interruption. What I was saying is when you hang out with a bunch of your stone buddies long enough, you start feeling stone. When I talk to crazy people, especially wearing headphones because it's like they're in me, I start feeling crazy. You guys feeling that sort of crazy buzz you get around?
Yeah, I was trying to follow her logic.
It's somewhat euphoric.
Man, I'm crazier than a rabbit's ass.
I like it.
Who are you guys?
Shirley.
Uh-huh.
You know, I got to be honest, what scares me.
What?
What scares me is the children that you raise. You have a four-year-old there that you're indoctrinating into your...
I have 11 children.
Right, you have a four-year-old closest, 11 that you're indoctrinating into your hateful, retarded, nutty cult known as your religion, and that frightens me because they don't have a choice.
Well, wrap your tiny brain around this. I have 43 nieces and nephews, and we teach these children what the Lord their God requires of them, and you know what?
Right.
It's not a crime problem or a drug problem among the bunch.
If I drive around with my safety seat facing the wrong direction in my wife's Volvo, the kid's going to get taken away from me, but if I want to take 11 kids, put them under the same horrible roof, and have this witch Shirley indoctrinate them into her retarded, crazy cult, no problemo there as far as the city goes.
Don't you have any questions to ask or anything to talk about? You think calling me names and otherwise blaspheming God is going to fix this for you?
Fix what?
The wrath of God pouring out on your head. You those Amish brats.
Where is the wrath of God, by the way? I've been waiting for him.
Killing those Amish brats the other day. And,
right.
And today,
they were brats?
A bunch of soldiers.
You're calling the Amish kids who were slaughtered a week ago brats?
And that guy did them a huge favor, cutting them off before they got to be your age and blaspheme God and make their stint in hell so much more painful.
Shirley, if you have this relationship with God, why hasn't he shrunk your ass or fixed your teeth by now?
That's a fair question.
It is a fair question.
You are so funny.
Why is your ass the size of a Winnebago?
You're judging me. You don't like my teeth.
The ones you have are okay.
The ones I have are okay. All right. And so you're judging me. And what's this about my ass? What's that about?
It is bigger than the harp that I'll be playing when I'm sitting up on a cloud and laughing at you down in hell because you made fun of these Amish children who were slaughtered.
Yeah, no, hon. I'm telling you they're in hell and that God executed judgment and laid the Amish perverts to an open shame before this nation and executed judgment upon the state of Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
And shortly now, the rest of this country.
Taking it out on the whole Keystone State.
Pouring out his wrath all over you dummies.
Let me ask you this quickly about the state of Pennsylvania. Philly's playing Dallas coming up Sunday. It's one of the games we got to bet on. Has God spoken to you about the over-under on that game?
Yeah, hon. That's what God does.
Can I ask you, though?
He's going to fix your bets for you, you big dumbass.
Shirley. Speaking of big ass. Shirley, quickly, though, these kids seem to be innocent. If God,
they seem to be.
I'm just saying, doesn't God have bigger fish to fry? Aren't there pedophiles out there and murderers and other sinners?
He used one of those pedophiles to execute judgment. It's perfect. He used a pervert to execute judgment on a perverse nation.
Right,
it's
but
wonderful.
Why didn't he use the pervert who killed the young kids on other pervs, for instance?
Well, why don't you ask him that and see where that gets you? And here's the verse for you, dummy.
All right. Here we go.
O man, thou that repliest against God, can the thing formed say to him that formed him, why have you made me thus?
Mm-hmm.
God does what he wills in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none
4-year-old just
can
put his head in the oven.
Hand, nor say unto him, what doest thou?
All right.
Not
well,
even
you're right.
Birds on the LA radio station.
All right, Shirley. Well, you're a delight, and I'd like to have you back with us to help us with
right,
the football
well,
picks
you?
Next week.
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah.
I am an instrument
what's your
of
name,
Satan.
Dummy?
Hmm?
I know you're an instrument of Satan, but what's your name? You're a minion of Satan is what you are.
Yes.
You're not even an instrument.
My name is Damien. 666. That's as much as you weigh.
You mean you're embarrassed about yourself? You're embarrassed about your name?
That's right. I said, Damien, why don't you believe me?
Hey, dummy, I stand on the streets of this nation. If
who are you, Red Fox?
Come on, Sanford,
big dummy.
Listen, dummy, if I had any ill discipline in my appearance, you know that's all they'd talk about. So get over that nonsense. You're not going to intimidate me or otherwise get me to shut up about the Word of God.
Well, all I know is that
methinks
thou protest too much.
No.
All right, you heathen.
Right, so have a nice day.
All right, as Aunt Esther would say.
Dummy.
Well, I think that went well.
I'm still so confused why she hates the Amish. They love God, too.
The guy... You got to understand, you got to love God the right way.
I couldn't follow.
A lot of people like to love God, but they're just a little confused in their methodology. God used the guy who was screwed up from being molested to kill the young kids.
I got it. Okay.
In Shirley's grand scheme. All right. We'll need to take a break. I guess we're going to do some news and some sports when we come back. We have our football picks to
do as well. Jesse Jane's calling in porn, so Jesse Jane to do the picks next segment.
All right, we'll do that. Then we'll do sports and news. All that still coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to name the Adam Carolla Show Employee of the Week. This week's employee brings the show energy, charisma, wit, and most importantly, love for the show. This employee's passion and drive has a galvanizing effect on the rest of the staff, bringing out the best not only in himself, but in the Adam Carolla Show team. This employee is an inspiration. This week's Employee of the Week is, once again, Adam Carolla.
Thank you. Speechless. Well, that's probably a good thing because we're running a little bit late. So it's time to get to the football picks. We have my dog Molly here, who's going to make the picks via the milk bone and the team on separate cards. Oh, it is all above the board. Dave will make his. Porn star Jesse Jane will do it. I'm 8-8 for the season. Dave, 12-4. Molly, 7-9. Jesse, 7-5. But because we spin the wheel after Dave and I win or lose, depending on how we did over the week, I am ahead now, I think, $400, even though I've only won 1 week because the wheel landed on $1,000 when Dave spun it. So shall we get started, Dave?
Let's do it. You know, we have the first game. First of all, it's a great week of NFL football. I can't wait for it. The first game, Dallas Cowboys, including their wonderful star, T.O., at his old team, the Philly Eagles, giving 3.5 are the Eagles. They're at home. I'm going with T.O. and his fellas, plus the 3.5. How say you, Carolla?
Well, the half is tough. I feel like Philly's good at home. I feel like Dallas is good, too. I feel like Philly's going to win the game, but maybe they win it 24-21 or something like that. Even though...
Trying to put an awful fine point on it, though. You think the Eagles are going to win, but they're going to win by less than 3.5. That's a tough call.
Well, it's the half that really screws me up, but I'm going to go with Philly anyway at home. Jesse Jane, porn star, how say you?
I'm going to go Dallas Cowboys because I like to ride a cowboy reverse cowgirl.
Ooh, I like that.
Classy as ever. Always bringing a nice soft touch to the
All right, let's see where my dog Molly comes down on this game. Molly is gone for the Eagles. Molly went directly for the Eagles.
Didn't even have to think twice about it. All right, here's the worst game of the week, but of great interest to those up in the Bay Area. The Oakland Raiders, woeful club, 0-3 at the almost as awful San Francisco 49ers. 49ers are playing in Candlestick, as are the Raiders, as it turns out. 49ers giving minus 3.5 again. Two crummy teams. Lesser of two evils, the 49ers is my pick. How say you, Carolla?
Got the 49ers as well. Hard to tell. It's bad on bad, but I'm going 49ers as well in this one.
Raiders, better uniform. San Francisco, slightly better team. Jesse Jane.
You know what? I'm going San Fran because that's the gayest city, and I like a little girl-girl action.
It's not gay when two hot chicks get it on. It's only when the fat chicks have at it where it becomes gay. I've learned that from watching a lot of late-night TV. Molly is going for Oakland. So Molly takes the Raiders. Next game,
Our
Dave.
Third game, we have the Kansas City Chiefs paying the Arizona Cardinals a visit in Glendale, Arizona. New QB, Matt Leinart, rookie QB, first time under center. Arizona is getting 3 points at home, and I'm going with those Cardinals. Matt Leinart, storybook. Game one, he wins it.
Arizona, tough team. Never know what the hell, which team's going to show up. Home, strong at home. But KC puts on 41 points on the board last week. Maybe they've got it in gear. I'm going Kansas City on this one.
Porn star Jesse Jane, how say you? Chiefs or Cardinals?
You know what? I like rookies and Matt Leinhart, so I'm going to go Cardinals because I like it hot and steamy.
A little non sequitur there, but she's a porn star, but not don't a NASA scientist.
But don't you think on air, don't you think Ed Rosenhaus is going to have a big game for the Cardinals?
No. I think the Cardinals are going to get it. They're going to win.
Trick question.
She has Rosenhaus on her fantasy football team.
Molly the dog, how say you?
Let's see. Molly is going for the Chiefs. She stayed with her owner on this
and
one.
The ultimate game of the weekend. The Pittsburgh World Champions paying a visit to the San Diego Chargers. First, let me say there's another little side bet that I have with all-pro linebacker Sean Merriman earlier today. Here was the bet that we worked out. I took the Steelers, of course, and he took the Chargers, I believe, is who he took. Where is that stinking thing? All right, listen. In the meantime, while I look for that. You'll be shocked to learn I'm taking the Steelers. Plus the three, the Steelers.
Steelers backs against the wall. Tough. San Diego could easily be 3-0 this year. Lost at the last second last week. San Diego at home. Tough one to pick. I'm going San Diego on this one at home.
Jesse Jane, how say you?
You know what? I was going to pick Pittsburgh because Dave's from there. You made me hot. But I'm
going
to go San Diego because it's close to Mexico, and I like people who go south of the border.
Ah. Ooh, say they cross.
You can have the best of both worlds, though, Jesse.
They cross. You like it when they go so far south that they cross Taintburg into Anusville?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. And what's Molly has to make
Molly's
her pick.
Molly's a big fan of that sort of
Charger.
Business, too.
She's going with the Bolts herself. Well, there you have it. That's it. That's the last
Ace,
one, right?
Let's just quickly, in case the off chance that you should tie me this week, how many points, total points on that Steeler-San Diego game? Should
we
put down here?
Over-under. All right. Well,
I'll go with 44, as a matter of fact.
Oh, no, San Diego, yeah. I'll go lower. I'll go 43. That way I'll be closer. If it's anything lower than 44.
And when we come back with sports, I will share the bet that I made with Sean Merriman. An actual bet.
Yes.
That will bring great shame to him and his head.
We will
when the Steelers win.
We will hear that. Speaking ahead, Jesse?
Yes.
You're on night calls.
Yes, night calls every other night. Monday, 6 p.m.
Playboy television.
Playboy TV, baby.
We'll be watching. Thank you, Jesse.
Thanks, Adam.
Good luck to you this week. All right, we'll take a quick break, but we'll come back with the news. T, what's in it?
Important news on how to get drunk faster and what horrible accident happened to Eva Longoria.
We'll talk about that after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh? Poser.
The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, San Jose, California. A 26-year-old man threatened family members with a knife. When the police arrived, the man accidentally sprayed himself with pepper spray. Definitely Not a Jew.
We have another candidate for Definitely Not a Jew. Elizabeth, line 5, agrees with Shirley Phelps, the religious nut job who thought it'd be a nice idea for those Amish kids to be killed a week ago. Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Lord's been very kind to you. I can hear it in your voice.
Oh, yeah.
You're blessed.
You
agree with Shirley?
I agree with, I'm not saying I agree or disagree with Shirley, but she stood pretty firm on what her beliefs are. Nevertheless, you're talking smack. Hello?
Yes, you admire her chutzpah.
Well, I wish I could actually throw out everything that I had learned in the past, you know, with the places where I've been and, you know, the Holy Spirit and all that. I actually went through it, and it's a trip. However, you go ahead and the devil, you know, the enemy is there, because, you know, you see, like, these kids that died, I just heard about it on your show, whatnot. Mm. But I'm trying, I can't make anything short, which I wish I could.
Yeah,
however,
me too.
But the
so
thing is
Jack
that
Silver.
It's going to happen however it is written. The Bible was there, and see, let's say, where did, you know, my question is,
hold on, I'm praying for you to have a cohesive thought.
Aw, thanks. Pray for Atkinbars for yourself, too.
I'm going to speak in tongues.
No, seriously. That's
Shandala, Shandala. Why are we talking to this crazy bitch when we got news and sports coming, Shandala?
I will play the song. Okay, are you, or should I just hang up then?
Yeah.
No, wait, hold on. One more thing.
Now, if I hang up on you, you'll go to heaven. But if you hang up on yourself, you'll go to hell. It's like killing yourself.
I'm not religious, okay?
All right, that's enough. It says up on the book. It says up on the screen, agrees with Shirley. So I thought I'd talk to her. Turns out she don't even agree with herself. T.
Yes.
Finally, something we can agree on. News. Teresa Strasser. It's good stuff, Ace.
I will keep my comments very, very brief.
Thank you.
First of all, there's a state representative named Frank Lissay out of Wisconsin. He's pushing a law that teachers should be able to carry concealed weapons. We will be having him on the show next week.
No,
so
that's going to work out.
No, not next week. Next break.
Oh, I just asked you if it was today, and you made a next movement, so I got confused.
Fresh entry for the bitch bank.
Oh boy.
All right, so we'll talk to him. Yes.
Sorry, Breska. We will talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a study about alcohol. What would you think would get you drunk faster, a rum and Coke or rum and Diet Coke?
Never really thought about it.
Dave, I'd like your input.
I'm sorry. I'm going to say... Brusca's giving me a note.
I'm going to say the sugar in the Coke is somehow going to aid to the buzz, so I'll go non-diet.
What would you say? Rum and Coke, rum and Diet Coke. What gets you drunk faster and keeps you drunk longer?
I don't care. I want to do sports.
Okay.
I kid.
Well, researchers in Australia actually found that artificial sweeteners keep you drunker. Mm. So if you have alcohol mixed with a sugar-free sweetener, you'll stay drunk longer. About 30 minutes after a drink, they tested people, and those who had sugar-free mixers with their alcohol, their blood alcohol level went up to 0.05, with a regular sugar mixer, 0.03.
Well, I drink a Tab and Trombui. That's my drink. So
perfect.
Should be fine, yeah.
Also,
one of my drinks called a Highland Blizzard. That's Cutty Sark and flour. Now, don't laugh until you've tried it. Just a straight flour, baker's flour and Cutty Sark. It is awesome stuff.
Well, Adam, you said that you prayed that last one would keep her comments brief. And maybe some of your prayers do come true, because I know you're not a big fan of Eva Longoria. Well, according to her reps, she slipped on some steps while coming out of her trailer on the set of Desperate Housewives and bruised some ribs.
Mm.
But unfortunately, she won't be missing any work.
Mm. Look, nothing against Eva Longoria, nothing against any of these celebrities I speak about constantly. I just don't understand what it's all about. There's nothing wrong with her, but there's nothing wrong with my neighbor or your neighbor either. We don't have to hear about every goddamn thing they do. Eva Longoria, mediocre talent on a mediocre show that's an ensemble show. It's not the Eva Longoria show. There's five other people, and then 12 is if you want to just keep expanding. I don't understand what the obsession is. She's 5'3 and tan and not fat.
Well, speaking of expanding, Marsha Cross, news about her today. She's having twins. Everyone knew she was pregnant, but now it appears that she'll be having twins, so congratulations to her. Opening at the box office this weekend, obviously the big movie, Martin Scorsese's The Departed. Here are a couple words from Leonardo DiCaprio about why he took the role.
At the heart of this movie was this police officer who's sent to infiltrate this mob syndicate. And for me, the dynamic of being around a group of people that will kill me at the drop of a dime, but having to relay that sort of angst to the audience of constantly feeling in fear but not wanting to let that off to the people around me was what was most compelling initially. Like, wow, how do I do this?
He may have meant at the drop of a hat.
Or something.
He's a good actor, and I'm going
to
see his movie.
Stick to the acting, not so much to talking. Or let folks write stuff, and then you can repeat it.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number
sports.
Do it, Dave.
Dodgers sucked yesterday. Padres sucked even worse. Let's not rehash it. They're both down 2-0 in their series. Both need the win tomorrow in order to keep the seasons alive. Dodgers look to Hall of Famer Greg Maddux. The Padres look to Chris Young. Let's us look to the NFL.
Yes.
On Sunday, of course, T.O. and his pals from the Cowboys paying a visit to his old pals over in Philadelphia. And the Pittsburgh World Champions will be paying a visit to San Diego on Sunday night. I made a little wager a couple hours ago with all-pro linebacker Sean Merriman, and here it is to prove it. So if the Steelers win, you have to shave DD into the side of your head, my initials, and then what would you like to have happen in return if the Steelers should lose, which is a moot point because they're not going to.
You got to put on a skirt.
Put on a skirt. I got to say, I feel pretty good about not only my chances, but, you know, if I have to wear a skirt, that's not nearly as bad as him shaving some loser's initials into the side of his head.
Yeah, would have liked to heard that on tape.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's a dig, sir. That's a dig, sir. You know what? I don't have to stand for that. I bid you good day.
Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
He seems to be a man of his word, Merriman. And he is a good guy.
It will be one of my greatest accomplishments if he has to stitch my initials in his
head. Good day,
sir! Yeah, I am. I did bet on San Diego, but now I kind of want the Steelers to win.
Come on, Big Ben!
We'll take ourselves... What yelling? We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with State Representative Frank Lissay. He is the guy from Green Bay that T mentioned in the news. He wants to put forth legislation that is going to have teachers be able to pack heat in the classroom and return fire for any madmen storm the classroom. We'll talk to him after this.
Next week on the Adam Carolla Show, David Arquette, pro wrestler John Cena. The New Jersey governor came out of the closet, James McGreevy, and 18-year-old porn star Nikki Nine. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Right. I'm back. Well, that congressman who's going to, representative who's going to call in may or may not call in. But no matter. Surprise, surprise. Everyone sitting down? I have stuff to talk about. I'm first a quick correction. I'm going to be in Van Nuys. Thank God I called it an armpit in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm going to be in Van Nuys. I called an armpit when I thought I was going to Burbank to be the Grand Marshal of the East Valley Trojans homecoming, which I was an East Valley Trojan from age 7. Yes, I started playing tackle football at age 7 up until about age 13 when I was traded to the Sun Valley Falcons, where I played for 2 years. Yeah, I played there. And I got to say this. I grew up essentially rudderless. I grew up sort of hippie, half-stone, lazy family. I didn't have much discipline, and I didn't have many outlets for whatever I had brewing inside a young ace man. But I got to tell you, I think Pop Warner football saved my life. And I think it helps more kids than anyone will ever know. Now, Little League Baseball, fine if you're a puss. Because Little League Baseball doesn't teach you anything except for how to make fun of your buddies when they're batting and they strike out. But Pop Warner football, that'll make a man out of you. It's push-ups, it's sit-ups, it's running laps, it's yes, sir, no, sir. You learn about discipline. And I'll tell you what, in today's society where I think we're raising a whole generation of sort of he-she, T-ball playing pussy kids who can't figure out how to fix their own car and go rat guys out when another guy challenges them to a little scrap. Pop Warner football, that is the antithesis of what we're talking about. It is mano a mano. You get smashed in the mouth and then you do some push-ups, and if you cry, you do some more push-ups. It helped me. I appreciate it.
I wish I knew what you were talking about. My mom wouldn't let me play football.
In this flag football, well, there's a word that rhymes with flag that you put in front of it. Sure, you risk injury. I effed my shoulder up royally, but what did I gain? Got knocked out a couple times, got a couple bumps and a couple bruises. Sure, that shows up on an x-ray, but there are things that don't show up on x-rays. Character, courage, stamina. intestinal fortitude. That helmet's not a chair, gentlemen.
That's what I look for when I draft my fantasy football team. Those characteristics.
Now take a knee. Well, now that I've gotten fired up, we have Frank Lissay, who is the representative from Green Bay. Anyway, I'm going to be in Van Nuys High. Ooh, they're going to be playing the Chatsworth Chiefs. Chatsworth Chiefs are the team that beat us when I was in Bantams. My last year at the Sun Valley Falcons, they beat us at College of the Canyons. They killed us for the championship. I played 7 years at Pop Warner. I played 2 championship games, and I lost them both. The last one.
More character.
Championship to the Kansas City Chiefs. Or I should say to the Chatsworth Chiefs, who we got into a fist fight with after the first game we played them in Chatsworth. All right, what the hell? We don't have enough time for Frank. Do we? Frank?
How are you?
Good to talk to you, Frank. Representative from Green Bay, Wisconsin. You are trying to push through some legislation that would let teachers pack heat?
That's absolutely correct. Not only teachers, but superintendents, custodians, anybody else, for that matter, who's a school employee who has the wherewithal and will go through the testing and all the things that we'll have in place to make sure that we do it safely.
Now, at first blush, this sounds like a horrible idea, but tell us why it's a good idea.
Okay, well, you know, the knee-jerk reaction, the emotional, as in many people feel that, you know, more guns equal more crime, and that's simply, or more violence, and that's simply not true. And it's worked in other countries, and in fact, there are 9 instances in doing research around the United States, and a best example of is in Mississippi. There was an armed intruder in a school that actually shot a couple of the kids. The teacher saw this. He ran to his car. It was parked more than 1,000 feet away, so he wasn't violating the law. Opened his trunk, got his gun, ran back in, and disarmed this intruder before he could kill other kids and shoot other kids. And there's 9 instances around the country where this has happened already, and there's not a single instance of a gun in a school employee's hands harming a kid.
That's another
argument against it.
Well, yeah, but we haven't tested this out. Not too many school employees are packing. But where would we put the gun, for instance, if it's in the classroom?
It certainly wouldn't be on their hip. That's another thing people say. I don't think it should be displayed. In fact, it works better if you don't know who and which teacher or which custodian or anyone had a gun. Mm-hmm. So kids wouldn't notice it. They wouldn't know that it was there. I would suspect that, and I'd leave it up to the experts to come up with a proper protocol, but I would think you would be locked, maybe locked in the desk, locked in the locker, someplace locked, because when you hear gunfire in the other part of the school, it gives you time to go and get your gun and go out and look and see what's happening and confront that intruder. Or if you hear that it's happening, you know, if you see somebody walking up to the school with a gun and the kids go, look out there's somebody with a gun, you have the time and wherewithal to go and unlock it, get it out, and protect yourself and protect the children.
Yeah. I know your heart's in the right place, and I just wonder if this would work. I mean, I really do think that the incidents of schools being taken over with mad, scared gunmen. Also, don't you think it's going to add to the general paranoia that people feel that their teachers are now packing heat?
Well, it depends on your view of the world. And if you're anti-gun and have that, oh my goodness, guns cause crimes, just like, you know, pencils cause misspellings, you're going to think this is an awful idea. We have a lot of guns that that's the only way you really can protect yourself.
How many kids were shot at school by gunmen in Wisconsin last year?
That's a great question. I'm sorry, could you repeat it again?
How many people were shot in Wisconsin? How many school kids were shot on campus last year in the state of Wisconsin?
None last year, but we had a principal just killed that we just buried this week. Also in the district that I live in, Green Bay, a peaceful place that you'd never expect, we had 3 kids who had the guns and had some explosives who were planning on invading the school that they went to and hurting people there. Mm-hmm. I never would have expected it in my school district that I live in, and that is very frightening. And we have a rash of these, and unfortunately, the reason the Israelis have done it...
I wouldn't call it a rash. I mean, in 05 or 06 is not really what you call a rash.
Okay, what about the kids in the school in Pennsylvania? They're burying those this week as well.
Well, look, obviously, there's what about.
Exactly. Well, you're doing that. Why can't I?
Well, but the answer on your end is zero. That's the problem. You're now hopping to other states.
Well, exactly. So, you know, tell me an instance where it's been dangerous. can tell me one anywhere.
We don't have guns in schools, so obviously there's no data on that.
Prior to the federal law, concealed carry permits were available to teachers, and some teachers did pack heat.
Listen, I'm playing devil's advocate because I do kind of like this one. On the other hand, I just worry because then where does it end? Well, shouldn't dentists have guns? Shouldn't gardeners have guns? Eventually, everyone's just going to be packing. It's going to become like literally an arms race. I'm sorry, we're out of time. He called in a little bit late. We just got up against it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back out after this.
This is Sarah Silverman. I love Adam. I love Adam Carolla. I'm glad you're listening to him. You're doing the right thing.
Wow. Where's that one been? I feel good for a change. I want to thank Dom Herrera for coming in and Sean Merriman, obviously, for making the bet with Dave Damashek, Charger Steelers. We'll see who's wearing the dress and who's got the initials shaved in whose head. David Arquette next week. I have a very funny story about him. Hootie and the Blowfish. Former mayor of New Jersey, the gay governor, James McGreevy, also. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.